Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pixel Chicken Team Up. I'm your host, Stryker, and with me I have Johnny.
Yeah!
I have Phil.
Always a pleasure.
And I have our guest today, Mr. Jack.
Howdy.
Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Glad to have you here. He's going to be like the mediator, keep Phil and I from fighting.
Yeah.
That's why he's between us.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Phil and I that we were going to be fighting.
Yeah, that...
That was last
kind of
week.
Up in the air. We kind of encourage that. We like if you guys fight, it's not that big of a deal. I'd actually like to see it. Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing good. There's E3. It's good. I'm gonna say this now because I'll probably never get the chance to say it during this podcast. But I'm at like the end of Witcher 3.
So. Ooh.
Oh man,
good for you.
Yeah, it's turning
Witcher 3. That's such old news.
Yeah, it's turning into a top 10. Easily.
Just slowly climbing the ranks.
As the story takes off, yeah.
I reached a part in it that was very sad for me. Very tough decision to make.
How many hours in are you?
60-some. I'm very efficient with RPGs.
So. Yeah, I don't think I'm anywhere near as far into the game as these guys are. I think Stryker might be a little bit ahead of me, but he's at the end of the game. That's crazy.
Stryker has done more open world stuff, though. I still haven't done... five of the islands in Skellige. I haven't. There's tons of question marks all over Velen.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm not even.
Yeah.
I've got like 12 contracts that I have that I haven't done.
Yeah, I've got plenty contracts of contracts.
Contracts are funny because you can kind of just like knock those out.
Yeah,
like five of them.
That's like 2 hours.
Phil, how you doing?
Doing awesome.
You're all pretty right. Far from me, so I can't touch you and annoy you. But
oh man. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm glad. No, I'm doing all right. I'm enjoying my vacation. Looking for work. Leaving tomorrow for California to meet some family for about a week. And when I come back, hopefully get hired eventually. And as I do that, I'll practice my graphic designer skills with InDesign and Illustrator and stuff. Do a little bit of art and try to get some drawing done and play some games.
Speaking of which, you released a Bloodborne comic recently.
Yes, I did.
That was pretty fantastic.
It took me about a term, to get around to finishing.
Well, here's the thing about that works out about it, uh-huh. is even though it's technically like in the whole gaming sense, maybe mm-hmm. a little outdated.
Yeah,
there's still Bloodborne communities out there.
Yeah,
so no matter what, it's going to be well accepted. It has been.
Yeah,
it was on the Bloodborne subreddit. How much?
Yeah, it was up to like 90 upvotes last time I checked.
It'd be great. Yeah, hopefully it'll
like 3,000 views.
That's crazy.
Or something like that.
That's awesome.
The actual image itself. So yeah, Phil, you're like a celebrity now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You should
hopefully it'll attract more people to listen to Pixel Chicken.
Yeah, well, I hope so. It's probably just going to attract people to request art from you, though.
Oh, okay.
Do nothing for the podcast. So this is our E3 show. We did our pre E3 extravaganza. I think this is our during E3 extravaganza.
Yeah.
Yes, we are doing two shows this week. This one is aimed more towards covering what happened in the conferences. Our Friday show will be, covering whatever's left over, whatever happens during the PC conference tonight, and then some of the other demos and stuff that happened on, like, the show floor. So we figure we'll just go kind of through it in order of the way the conferences happened and talk about what happened, what we liked, what we didn't like. Johnny will talk a lot about what he didn't like, probably.
Hey, hey, last week was a tough time for me.
I'm just kidding.
You were in a tough I was place. On a lot of drugs, man.
You were in a dark place. So I guess we'll just kick it off, then. We don't have time to talk about any other shit anymore. Let's just kick it off right away. The first conference that happened was the Bethesda conference. That was on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously what we all wanted to see, we saw... But the conference itself started off with some Doom 4 footage.
Yeah.
Doom footage. Sorry for calling it Doom 4. That was... Phil, I'm going to ask you first, because you brought up Doom specifically as one of the games you wanted to see some more of. So I'm just curious what you thought of
it. It's so fast. You're doing so much in such a short amount of time. It's like what I imagine.
Doom.
Yeah, it's like fucking Doom. I mean, yeah. It's like it's become the game that I imagine in my head when playing Doom as a young kid. Like, I wonder what a game like this is going to be like 20 years from now. Like, you know, I remember a long time ago, I don't remember seeing, I don't remember where I saw it, but I would see, like, I don't know, like a commercial where, or a show where it made like a mock version of a first person shooter, and everything was going at such a fast pace. Mm-hmm. Like, no first person shooter was like that. And yet now we're getting to that point. I mean, it just, it's a completely different engine from,
well,
the one they used prior for, from, it's not the same engine as Rage, right?
It's a good question. It looks different.
I'm sure it's
5 or 6.
Is it like a new id tech?
I think they went up in id tech with this one.
They've created a whole slew of new ways to murder demons too.
It does, in motion, it does look like Rage, but in a good way. Like when I first saw Rage,
Rage didn't look bad.
I was impressed with Rage when I first saw it.
Yeah, looked really good.
It just, after release, was shit. But so, you know, hopefully that's not the case with Doom, and there's a whole new generation now. But yeah, it definitely, older shooters like Quake, that was the biggest comparison I drew with it, was especially with the multiplayer. Yeah.
Like the map editing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when they showed off the multiplayer, it was like, and I mean, it's not like we haven't seen that type of game in, we actually haven't in a long time. But yeah, it's a very Unreal Tournament, corridor, quick shooting.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of as Unreal Tournament.
I didn't think of Unreal Tournament because I seldom play it, but actually I've only played it like once at a person's house, but now I know what you're getting at. But man, it was exhilarating.
Yeah, it was fucking metal.
Yeah, it was metal as fuck.
It was like eight minutes, dude. Bethesda did an awesome job.
What a lot of Doom.
For a first-timer press conference like that, they did a great job. They pulled out just all the details about games that hadn't been seen before. We got long segments with lots of features unveiled. And they just showed people what they wanted to see and didn't waste time, kind of.
You're just tearing.
What do you think about it? I mean, the conference was just, the audience was just really hyped.
Yeah, they were.
Just watching in a setting.
I think they benefited from being first because everyone was so hyped for E3 that, the first, no matter what they showed, the first thing to kick off the show is going to be
Yeah. But they showed the brutal ripping demons apart and tearing
their hearts out and shit.
So that was right up your alley.
Yeah. there was parts where whenever they'd show that, you'd hear one off crowd member be like, "Yeah,
yeah,
dude, you're fucked up."
When they pulled out the chainsaw and started getting the audience got loud.
Oh, they specifically, that was what was cool about it, is they specifically like orchestrated the demo so that you walk for a little ways using a sweet weapon. Then he looks down and sees another weapon, famous Doom weapon, and everyone's chainsaws!
Chainsaw!
So
it was a very simple game and a simple trailer, and they did it really well. It just got me hyped for a game that I wouldn't have a couple of years ago I wouldn't have wanted this. This is something. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the opposite of what I've been saying about a lot of games. It's like a couple years ago, I've been sick of this kind of thing, and now I'm like, yeah.
Well, what was
mindless shooter?
What was cool about it is that we talked before about how we hope gameplay wise that they kind of do what Wolfenstein did and make it more of an old school shooter with updated graphics.
But they're taking that even further. Now, if you want to recover your health, you need to kill another demon as quick as possible so you can replenish it.
No regenerating health, yeah.
Yeah.
But
you can't just go hide someplace in a corridor and find one. There is no place to rest, according to them.
No.
And
that's great.
You can't climb up on a rock and shoot from above.
They unveiled BethesdaNet with this, which was already going for their Elder Scrolls MMO. That was just the service it ran on, but now BethesdaNet is linked across PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and with Doom, there's this map editor, module editor kind of thing, and you can create quite a diverse array of maps and modes.
It looked pretty in-depth.
Yeah, and everything that you create can be uploaded for all the other consoles. So, I remember, Matt, one of our coworkers, he creates lots of maps for Far Cry. He spends hours upon hours making these maps. One of them is super popular. with thousands of likes, but only on the PC community. You know, the other two communities don't get to see it at all. They're just completely different communities. This kind of merges the creative community into one big thing, so it should be more successful.
I like that.
Since everybody's got a hand in it. And, yeah, and so with that, they're also doing that with Fallout 4's mods with the same service. They're using Elder Scrolls or Bethesda.net to link all the mods to PS4 and Xbox One owners, which was pretty huge.
So stuff made on the like the mod kit for PC is going to be able to be accessed by PlayStation 4 users?
And yeah, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One get mods.
But there's no mod creation on the console, of course.
No, I don't think so. I doubt it. But
I don't assume so. I feel like if that was the case, they probably would have like touted it a lot.
Yeah,
probably.
And but everybody would have been like, what? How does that work?
I'm curious how it works just in general, like how the mods are going to work with Bethesda.net and everything, and you know, carrying across the consoles. I'm curious to see how that works.
Them having a control over.
Yeah, I know some people are probably going to be worried.
A lot of people are pissed. Which, by the way, for everyone out there, don't look at forums right now.
Wait, what are they pissed about?
They're bad. Everything.
Oh, really?
Fuck the internet. Everybody was fuck happy. The internet. Internet's done. Man.
I thought everybody was fucking happy.
The internet is over. Happy, yeah.
Are you happy?
I'm very happy.
Well, then fuck it.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some types of mods that Bethesda won't be, you know, thrilled about having on their service. So there'll still be, like, mod life for stuff like ModDB and, was it Nexus?
For PC mods that will probably have it better. I mean, they will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's a good thing overall. But yeah, people were instantly just like, really? Another online service for my games to run it? Because they don't like the Rockstar service, they don't like Uplay, and they don't like Origin. But, like, you know, Origin's got its perks, Uplay doesn't have any.
Hey, Origin has really good customer support.
Yeah, they have a few things that are really good. But I actually think Origin as a whole is really well designed.
It's not bad.
But, yeah, the Fallout, or the Elder Scrolls thing, Bethesda, I think it works out well for what they're trying to do. It brings in an innovative new feature to bridging together these consoles. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think they have the gamer's best interest in mind when they're doing it. I don't think they're doing it for any, you know, devious purposes. So.
Yeah.
Any Dishonored fans in the house?
I played the first game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that we're kind of all in the same boat. It seems that way. We it was, you know, it was a cool game.
It was a game.
I know people that really liked it. I wasn't one of those people. I thought it was neat.
Some people's their favorite game ever.
But they did announce Dishonored 2. Did they announce a release date for it?
No,
they just kind of said, like, it was coming out. Right?
Yeah,
they showed
like
a CG trailer.
More. It was really lukewarm and kind of awkward. They kind of stepped out and they're like, yeah.
Dude, I love how the...
Years ago, we made Dishonored.
Yeah. I love how the guy doing the presentation was like, well, that's it. And people were just like, what the... Like, no, guys, no. Oh, okay, yeah, there's this game called Fallout 4. Yeah, you want to hear about that. Yeah.
The French-speaking host for Dishonored, like, uh-huh. I could just hear him like breathing through his nose.
Just watching from afar like... Yeah. They're gonna love this. That's awkward. So that was cool, but I think that the main thing that this conference that we wanted to see and that we did get to see, obviously, was Fallout 4. So, Jack, I'm start with you. I'm sure we'll all have something to say about this game, but what were your initial impressions when you saw this?
I mean, I was really... not about specifically the trailer itself, but everybody's reaction to it was really cool, because a lot of people were really excited for its announcement, mm-hmm. and then I saw a lot of people on the internet kind of complaining about how like the game didn't look as nice as they wanted it to.
Oh yeah.
Or
now, were you a big Fallout? Sorry to interrupt, but were you a big fan of the
Last week's podcast was just I felt bad about how much I ranted about that.
Yeah, but a lot of people had similar things to say. And it seemed to, for a lot of people, kind of confirm that it did look good still. I think, besides that, there's a lot of obvious things to say that were really awesome about that trailer. But I think the smaller thing that I really liked was the sense of humor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Fallout games always have humor in them,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like it was really kind of unique in the games that I've seen. Like, all of the little jokes that they were throwing out at the beginning. Like, when he shut the door in the guy's face.
Yeah.
And then the dressing in, like, drag and stuff. Like,
the dressing up montage.
Yeah, that felt like it was very much just the way players would be playing the game. And
yeah,
I appreciated that.
The physics a lot better. It's going to look a lot better than Fallout 3. And I love how you can build your own communities. That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. The showcase was really interesting because it was barely about, like, introducing you to this serious story and all this... immersive stuff. It was more like, it was like a playground that they had set up for the E3 press conference. Like, you know, the dog is just kind of there. And you're like, hey, buddy, let's be friends. Like, that's not going to happen in the game. It better not. But then, you know, conveniently there's some mole things there. And then, you know, they just had everything very fine-tuned. Like, this is, like, the kind of stuff you need to see first for Fallout. Like, and they just set it up. So where it's like, this isn't, you know, the game you're going to be playing, but like, it also kind of made it feel like, oh shit, this game is going to be like your life for a long time.
I love the line from the main character of the game. He's talking to the dog and he goes, "Want to fuck shit up?" Just killing everything.
What kind of thing I was talking about?
I feel like they kind of just were like, here's the world of Fallout 4.
Yeah.
You know, like, here, showing you the playground of it, like you said. And I thought one thing that was really impressive to me, especially coming from Fallout 3 in New Vegas, was when they showed like the montage of the world and everything. For one, the amount of variety in like everywhere, the locations and stuff looked so different and so varied. Like, a lot of it almost looked like expansions. Like, they show like this kind of swampy area, and I loved the uniqueness to it. Like, it all looked very different. A lot of color, which we talked about before, but seeing the actual, like, game demo showed that even more. And then, on top of that, I really liked how all of the enemies, like, they showed a bunch of enemies that you see in, like, other Fallout games, like Deathclaws and the fucking flies that annoy the shit out of you.
No, well, the Deathclaws are...
Deathclaws suck.
Fuck those.
They were all redesigned. Mm-hmm. Like, they completely redesigned all of them, seemingly. And they all looked different and had, like, just a new fresh, you know, appearance to them. And
then there's there's a creature that I had never seen before. This thing with, like, a, I don't know, vagina for a face. Whatever.
I think I missed that.
I don't remember vagina face, man.
Some. What? Okay. No. Okay. This is I'm serious. That was. It's not actually that for a face, but I'm serious. It was an ugly motherfucker.
Okay.
And I'd never seen it in a Fallout game before.
Well,
I think you're talking about a different. Like, is that Doom? Or
no, it's Fallout 4.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So my biggest takeaway is, obviously, I had a lot of complaints about the initial trailer, but, like, my biggest takeaways were the redone dialogue system and the first-person shooting. Mm-hmm. First-person shooting looked good. I mean, really good. It was improved in New Vegas, but it still kind of sucked. Like it was... In Fallout 3, it was just unusable. It was god-awful. Like, you know, VATS and everything, just the way the game plays, seeing it in motion made me feel a lot better about it.
Graphically, it looked really good. Like the detail, the foliage and the textures and stuff, it just looked nice.
I just can't wait to shoot enemies off cliffs.
I think
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
There's nothing more gratifying in a game than shooting somebody and watching them fall off a cliff. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's like my human nature to just want to see someone fall off a cliff.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. Like, we're assholes. We're cool with it.
Like, in games where you shoot someone and there's like an animation where they're like, ugh, and they like fall over a fence like down below. I'm like, yeah!
It's because we grew up with Indiana Jones and shit.
It's cool.
I think you're right.
It's all they do in Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But the shooting looked great. And I feel like, you know, fidelity-wise, it doesn't look that much better than Skyrim, like, in terms of its engine power. But at the same time, I feel like creatively and aesthetically, it looks a lot better.
That's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you could tell.
They did a lot with the aesthetic, I feel like, to make it look better, even if fidelity-wise it was.
Yeah, even if it's running on ancient, an ancient engine. But, yeah, it looks good, and it's coming soon. So, holy shit, we're not going to have any time to do anything this year.
Wait, one more thing I wanted to say before we move on from Fallout is that the crafting of weapons and stuff, like, that's something... I'm a huge sucker for weapon customization in games and modding and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I really like that, and that appealed to me a lot. I think that's really cool. And the power armor.
Yeah, yeah, you can customize your power armor.
Cool.
That's great.
When he gets in the power armor and, like, jumps down, like, just mowing guys down, and just... And calls him like an airstrike type thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this still Fallout, or is this like...
Yeah, there are multiple moments of like, is, yeah, the crafting and the base building.
And I love the animation there. You can actually walk in, how it actually shows how someone gets into an armor this time around. Yeah. It was like the Iron Man scene in the first movie. It was sweet.
Mm-hmm. So the weapon crafting looked really cool. It looks like something I'd use a lot. You know, the base building is basically Minecraft Fallout. That's kind of weird. But the idea of building a town, really, like, and because you can build multiple towns. Like he said, there are multiple areas
and
you
have
build.
Caravans that go.
Yeah, the
Brahmin
caravan.
Yeah, and you can Brahmin caravan, like grinding is just like one of my favorite things to do in a Fallout game in terms of like that setting. So you see, yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, and the base building kind of reminds me of that one RPG, Dark Cloud. Is Dark? Yeah, Dark Cloud.
I mean,
like just the idea.
Maybe
of
it'll work like that.
Building
you,
a town and all the townspeople in it and stuff.
Yeah, you. It seems like you get to kind of like choose who moves in or whatnot. I don't know if there's any like
you. You're ugly. You're out.
I don't know if there's any like uniqueness to the people who live. I wonder if they'll even be like named NPCs or not. Like that would be like Dark Cloud, but.
He says that, according to Todd Howard, that's like the best way to get the best gear to buy in the game is in your town. So it's like
I want a town completely populated with feral ghouls.
Yeah, that's what cool.
So I hope they can. And the most important thing about the Fallout announcement was that it's coming this year, obviously.
Yeah,
coming in November, which we had kind of like speculated. Like when it was first announced, I was like, "No way! There's no way it's coming out this year. That just doesn't happen in this day and age." Where a game is announced and then comes out 5 months later.
And yet, apparently, they've been working on it since Fallout 3.
Yeah. Wasn't it weird to see Todd Howard? Was I the only one that felt like this weird nostalgia?
Yeah, when I see Todd Howard, all I think of is when he first appeared to show off Fallout 3 and, like, showed the game off.
Yeah, because Todd Howard was the guy who got me...
He's a good speaker, too.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he dropped the F-bomb on the press conference.
He's like, this app, that was another thing.
Yeah, it's the best app. Fucking one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's fucking cool.
He's awesome.
Yeah, so I guess we'll go to Microsoft now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right.
Microsoft had I felt like they had a pretty strong conference.
Yeah, it was solid.
It was a solid conference.
It was better than the last 2 years for them.
So, says something. If you want to take a look at the...
Although some of their games that are really good are not necessarily Xbox exclusives. In fact, none of the ones that I... one of the big games isn't listed here. But yeah. So, I guess... they started it off with some Halo 5 stuff.
Some campaign footage, which we... I don't think... They haven't showed any campaign footage, have they, so far?
No.
Just multiplayer stuff.
Do they have more of the, like, Find the Truth... campaign that they've been doing to promote that game?
I don't know. They showed the gameplay footage of them seemingly in some town that was being destroyed trying to find, I don't know, they're trying to find something, find the, it seems like it's sort of like this this like internal war between like Master Chief and his Spartan group versus this new Spartan group or something. I don't know, I'm not familiar enough with the story to know exactly what I was looking at, but it looked cool.
Yeah, there's been this really cool promotion for Halo 5. It's like hashtag find the truth, I think. And there's like actually on SoundCloud, like a role-played investigative reporter thing where Keegan-Michael Key from Key & Peele has been playing the serious investigative reporter where he's trying to find out like the Master Chief's real origin. Weird. It's actually, it's really cool. I was blown away because I'm not super into Halo, but
it's gonna end with a Key and Peele skit. It's gonna be the best skit ever.
It's gonna air on their show. Yeah. It's gonna be like, you finish the game and it's gonna be like, tune in to Comedy Central.
Yeah, and then they had ReCore. I don't know, do you know the details about ReCore? Do you want me to go on it?
Go ahead.
Alright, so, this was weird. Like I wasn't that impressed by the trailer. It was just some girl with robots. This is a new IP. But it's developed by a new studio led by Keiji Inafune.
Yeah.
What? And the Metroid dev team. Metroid Prime. What the fuck?
That sounds like a pretty fucking stellar
pretty
lineup.
Nice combination there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
it's weird, but it sounds
it is weird.
They didn't show anything really intriguing in the trailer. It was like, girl, robots.
Aesthetically, it was
CG.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Keiji Inafune, what is he just doing, like, five games at a time at all times? Or did he just, like,
I think that's why Mighty No. 9 took the dump. He's just like, oh, this is a better game over here.
Yeah. They just got all his recycled, like, concept art.
He just, like, thought, maybe making another Mega Man game wasn't a good idea.
They probably kept calling him while he's working on this game, and he's like, oh, yeah, you guys, yeah, just make him have a blaster and stuff, and leave me alone. I'll be busy this week. Yeah, that seems like a cool game. I mean, like I said, that lineup is good enough that I feel like I trust them to put out a good game.
Yeah. And it's Xbox One exclusive, so, I mean, I don't know, I'll follow it as more comes out. Then, you know, Garden Warfare 2. Who could forget that? And
you got any Garden Warfare 1 fans here?
Oh, yeah, Garden Warfare.
I forgot that even came out. Like, I was like, wait, Garden Warfare 2?
I know Plants vs. Zombies, like the first-person shooter version.
Ah.
I know people who were weirdly into that game. Like, just really into, like, people that are, like, gamers. Like, not, these aren't, like, people who never play games, but, like, actual friends of mine that play a lot of games, and they're like, dude, you gotta get Garden Warfare. What? Are you talking about Modern Warfare? Or, like, no, but, yeah, you know, whatever. I'm sure some people think it's cool. It didn't look bad.
No, it didn't look bad. It's just, I just was pissed because it took up, like, 10 minutes of the EA press conference with that. But that EA press conference was just all bad. Forza Motorsport 6.
I'm a big Forza fan.
Forza's cool. I just don't have an Xbox.
With every Forza game they release, they're just burying the Gran Turismo franchise deeper in underground.
Yeah, it's their answer. It's to Gran Turismo.
Well, it's more than that.
I mean, well, Gran Turismo came after Forza, I believe.
Really?
The original Gran Turismo? I don't think so.
Maybe PlayStation?
Not. Yeah, maybe you're right. Is? Yeah, Gran Turismo on like 6 now, so maybe not.
But anyway, Forza Horizon 2, which was they're doing like a leapfrog thing now where they do Horizon then Motorsport. Mm-hmm. But Forza Horizon 2 was amazing. It was a really, really good game if you like racing games. And I would say I'm more a fan of Forza Motorsport 6. I just kind of like the more traditional racing, and those games are just like the perfect graphical showcase of the latest generation of consoles. Like, I feel like racing games are always the kind of games you see and you're just like, man, that looks really fun and good.
Yeah.
I remember back in the, I mean, this isn't Forza, this is Gran Turismo, but years ago, back when PlayStation 2 was still around, I still couldn't get over how, at the time, how real I thought those games looked. Mm-hmm. They looked just like actual, I felt like actual cars were being filmed.
Yeah. Some of those games, you go back nowadays. Like, I remember going back just recently and looking at an earlier version of some racing game. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, that, it was like original Xbox, and it still looked pretty damn good.
Yeah. So, yeah, the original Xbox Forza games look like,
they look good.
They still look, well, I mean, they looked all right. Like, they went for that realistic approach. It worked. Anyways.
This one, okay, there's Dark Souls 3. You a Dark Souls fan, Jack?
Yeah, I haven't played 2, though, but I'm way behind.
I haven't played.
He played 2. Demon's Souls in 1, but not Bloodborne or 2.
I played Demon's Souls, Dark Souls 1. Yeah, I did the same thing. I played Demon's Souls, Dark Souls 1, and then Bloodborne, and I just never played 2. I want to, and I still plan on it, but I didn't get around to it.
If you don't, it's not. Well, actually, I don't know. Because one or two separate the story, and this trailer showed Anne Orlando from the first game and the Giants from the second game. Mm-hmm. It's like they're merging the stories, and they confirm this is the last Dark Souls game to exist in the trilogy.
They also
like it's going to bring them together or something.
That Miyazaki
is working on it.
Is working on it. He's the director. He's leading the project, which, for those of you who don't know, he was not leading the development of 2. He stepped away to work on Bloodborne and somehow is able to immediately move from Bloodborne to Dark Souls 3.
How do they do this?
I don't know. I don't get it.
They're inhuman. Because it's not like this is Assassin's Creed. These games are fucking good and they're big as hell.
You don't have to yell at us.
Fuck! No, yeah, they're Microsoft's press conference having that was kind of a surprise. I thought they'd save that for like Sony or something, but
yeah, I was a little surprised at that too.
I was happy that they claimed that since you know Sony hogged all the Bloodborne. Division.
They showed another gameplay walkthrough of the Division. What do you think about Division, Phil?
Looks like a post-apocalyptic it doesn't feel like it would be a Tom Clancy story. And this is coming from someone who's familiar, who's at least read The Hunt for Red October. It looks cool. That's it.
That's it? It looks cool? What about you? Do you think it...
I don't really have thoughts.
I think... Johnny and I are really excited for it. My whole thing with the game is, you know, the graphics... When they first showed the game... Obviously, the first thing that I noticed, and I'm sure everybody noticed, was the graphics. I mean, they were incredibly impressive. But outside of that, the game...
The shooting looks fucking tight.
The shooting and just the game itself, like what they're going for, interests me. And so, for me, if the game comes out and is what they're promising, like that's going to be good enough for me to enjoy the game.
Open world, destroyed city, survivalist, RPG mechanics, sweet shooting, nice cover system.
And a realistic post-apocalyptic setting, not any like fantasy or supernatural elements.
Yeah. And Tom Clancy, which every Tom Clancy game I like. So, yeah, okay, there we go. Sold. So this E3, there was actually... And I'm surprised I haven't heard more complaining about this, although I'm sure we soon will. There's just so much to talk about. A lot of stuff's been overshadowed on the internet. There was a pretty big downgrade in the graphics. Like, the original showing was just unbelievably good. And then now it doesn't look like that at all. It looks great now. It looks like a perfectly good...
It looks really good.
It looks like a really solid game. But in comparison, it's like... Oh. But, I mean... That's not what I was really interested in the first place. I mean, it never is. Unless it's, like, so bad that it hurts the feel of the game, which it doesn't, so I'm still in.
What about, what do you guys all think about Rainbow Six Siege? They showed more gameplay of that, and, I mean, at this point, I think we've all seen a fair bit of footage for it, but...
No, they unveiled Terrorist Hunt.
Yeah, Terror Hunt, which I loved. That was...
That's a huge thing. That was a make-or-break deal for me.
In Rainbow Six Vegas, that was, like... I
love
that.
I fucking love Rainbow Six Vegas.
It was scary, surprisingly. Like, because they spawn...
The game looks intense as hell.
They spawn right behind you in Terrorist Hunt. That's what I remember about Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be...
Well, they spawn behind you in this, and then they fucking drill through the wall if you're in cover. Or through the ceiling and stuff. It's like, ooh, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super psyched about that one. That one's coming soon. That's in October.
Another game I'm personally excited for is Rise of the Tomb Raider. Did anybody here play the first Tomb Raider?
I bought it.
No, I haven't. I played the reboot that came out for PS2, Tomb Raider Legends. And it was pretty good.
I think there's been a few since then.
Yeah, there's been a few since then.
So the reboot of Tomb Raider was really, really good game, I thought.
It looked really good.
I beat it. It was long as shit for some reason. I kept thinking I was getting towards the end of that game, and then I'd like go to a new area and be like,
"This isn't the end of the game.
What the hell is going on? Is this like a third person action game or a
it's surprising
JRPG?
It's the new Star Ocean.
Yeah,
100 hours of
Tomb Raider until the end of time.
The first Tomb Raider and this one as well looks like it's like already on par with Uncharted, like not only in terms of like visuals and but like story and presentation.
Presentation.
Yeah.
I would agree to an extent. I think that it's still, I think Uncharted still, like, polish and attention to detail wise is a little bit it's kind of in a league of their own, but I think that this game is right up there. I mean, it looked fucking amazing, like the reflections in the snow and how her, like, feet were leaving a trail and stuff. Did you see the demo for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. I thought it looked really good. And, I mean, at this point in a lot of these games that they're showing off gameplay, they're running on console.
A lot of people are scared because, or were scared when they announced...
Sorry. There's a funny way to introduce whatever you're going to say. I'm just like picturing in my head a bunch of people like, oh god, like
a lot of people were worried that the game would be Xbox One exclusive. Mostly the worry is that it won't be on the PS4, which it won't be. They pretty much have confirmed now, but it's on the PC at launch, so I think that's worth me catching up to it and playing it. Looks good.
The next two kind of go hand in hand, I think. The so they had an announcement for a Rare announcement, which now they teased at the before E3 that there was going to be that Rare was working on something. So they show this Rare replay, which is like a compilation of all their, you know, all the Rare games.
It's like $30.
Yeah, $30 for 30 games, I think.
Yeah.
And are you a big Rare fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we all grew up fans of Rare in some form or another. The Rare game that they've been working on is called Sea of Thieves, and I thought we'll just go around and say what we thought about it, because I thought it looked really fucking cool, and yeah, it just looked really cool.
Yeah, I thought that looked awesome. The aesthetic was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I was super impressed by the water. Like, a lot of games recently have done really cool water, but, like, just, like, the way the waves were going, the ship was rocking on the ocean. What was interesting about that game was it was a tease, you know? Like, you couldn't tell what exactly the game was, but it seemed to imply that there was kind of some kind of open multiplayer thing going on, because you had the people in your ship, you know, with the names, which clearly implied. And then when they, you know, came broadside with that other ship when they were fighting, they were all players as well, and they had, like, there was no clear, like, oh, those are enemies. Mm-hmm. So it seemed to me that implied that you could just encounter other groups of players.
That's the way I kind of picked up on it. It seemed like a light MMO type of thing.
Yeah, so, maybe like a room of 32 people or something. Yeah. You enter and just do stuff. But I hope they design it to force people to cooperate. Yeah. And have that like journey mindset where it's not too social or something.
I just love how colorful it all is. It's going a different direction from trying to look realistic. But it just looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love how it takes like more than several people to function a ship. Like, you have to take a multiplayer role in actually controlling the thing.
My favorite part about it is, you know, they're controlling the ship and it's all in first person. It's just people just scavenging around, like running around this ship, like making it go. Like, not only just the ship though, but the idea of like exploring with friends. The gameplay and mechanics look like they're probably going to be pretty simple, which I love. I love that idea. That it's got a very innocent, very Rare feeling. I feel like if Rare in their golden age back then were to make a game today, like, that would be it. The music was like Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, the music was
great. In fact, the whole aesthetic was, because I don't like the Pirates of the Caribbean movie aesthetic. I think it's a little too over the top. I've never been a big fan of that. I love Sailors of that time period. And I love the Pirates of the Caribbean ride from Disneyland, that kind of thing. That's totally what this is. Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
Yeah, like more kind of like a Treasure Island sort of high aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like more kind of lighthearted. It was very Rare, I mean, the high aesthetic and the graphics and stuff.
This is actually probably one of my top three games of the show. Easily.
It was really surprising. Like, I just, I, you know, I, I've, we all figured there was going to be some rare announcement, but I had no idea it was going to be anything like this.
I didn't think it was going to be this innovative.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people were thinking, like, oh, maybe it's going to be some Conker thing, because they recently had the Conker involvement. Was it Project Spark?
Yeah.
And so people were thinking, like, are they going to actually give us a Conker game now? But I'm fine with it being this.
I will say, I was a little disappointed about not getting a new Battletoads announcement. I kind of was banking on that. Like, I thought there was a new Battletoads coming, but this is, you know, going to be amazing. So, I'm not complaining. I hope if you are the ship captain and, like, one of your friends is, like, just fucking up repeatedly, you can just put him on, like, toilet washing duty or something.
Well, they showed him kicking someone. Yeah, they had a gangplank, and they were kicking someone off the gangplank into a bunch of sharks.
Oh,
you didn't catch that?
I missed that.
Yeah, it was awesome. It showed somebody in their first-person perspective drawing their sword with two others.
I must have passed out for just a split second.
And they were walking toward... It was a very quick part, and it was kind of hard to catch, but like they had their swords pointed towards the guy who was going off the gangplank.
They gave him the boot.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I guess trolls get fucked.
Well, I'm booting you. First thing I'm going to do is boot you.
You don't kick him from the room. Everybody gets together and they're just like, yeah, let's kill him.
Phil's gonna just going to start an uprising against me and destroy my ship.
Yeah, that'd be cool if you get booted off a ship and you can actually build your own pirate gang. I can seek you out and we can take revenge.
You don't have an arm because you got bit off by one of the sharks.
Yeah. So, yeah.
This is the best game ever.
That sounds pretty cool. What else? I guess from now on, we'll just kind of do that same thing. We'll just do a round robin for all the announcements so we don't, like when it comes to Street Fighter, I don't just but talk.
There's one thing not listed here that we can mention.
Yeah.
Cuphead.
Let's talk about Cuphead. Let's do the same thing. I thought that last year, Cuphead was one of the games... I'm a sucker for platformers, just classic 2D platformers. And I really like just games that do unique things with the art style. And Cuphead... even last year when I saw it, I was really blown away, for one, at the art style and how good it looked. And it was really intriguing to me. So, I'm excited for that game.
Yeah, I thought... I think the aesthetic is, you know, really obviously the draw. And, I mean, it just looks legitimately like a fun game, even without just considering, oh, it's a cool aesthetic experience.
Yeah.
But... what I think about the aesthetic that I liked the most was the... it was like you're watching old film.
Mm-hmm. The filter.
Yeah, the filter on it where, like, the colors would kind of, you know, blend real quickly. Yeah. Like, that was awesome. I like that.
How about you, Phil?
It looks... yeah, the same thing. Wait. I mean, it looks like it's got its own old school... yeah, it's like an old...
You gotta check this out, Phil. You haven't seen this yet?
It's like an
this
old...
this is crazy. It gets crazy.
Like Felix the Cat. Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, like
it looks like
1930s
Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie. Tex Avery stuff.
Yeah. And it has, I like
to see. Whoa, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is the game?
Yeah, and so all the animation is like hand drawn or hand animated.
And like
I'm into this.
I can't believe we didn't think to get him to watch that.
Someone's pants just got a little tighter.
I just can't believe this is real.
Yeah, that's what I was. And it's the music real. Is sweet too.
Believe
but
yeah, just, the music is really cool too.
That's amazing.
It's like a perfect representation of that era.
Absolutely. Vintage cartoons.
That's a really good point. Yeah, even the characters themselves, they look like they were like they look like real characters that they just pulled out of like a cartoon from.
Yeah. But all the animation cycling and stuff.
At the same time, the mood is really creepy and like morbid and strange.
Well, some of those cartoons were really creepy.
Yeah.
You guys watch them and it's like
people didn't actually
Mickey Mouse versus the Nazis.
They weren't meant for kids during that time.
Yeah, so
he's eating a baby. What the fuck?
Let's see.
1936 plus 80 years.
Yeah, I love that.
That's amazing.
The last thing that they did was this the last?
Yeah, it was the very last thing. Gears of War.
They showed a Gears of War 4 walkthrough. They didn't really say this is Gears of War 4. They did not till the end. But I came away confused by it.
It's
I'll
dumb.
Let you guys touch on it. Yeah, go ahead. Jack,
you're the biggest Gears fan in the room.
Are you?
No, I mean, I played the first three games.
Okay.
I don't know. I've just fallen off the radar with this series. I mean,
yep.
I don't know. I didn't. This wasn't something I really cared to see. I mean,
yeah, it's not something I really wanted personally.
Judgment was a fart to the face. I actually got out of 3. Like, I didn't play 3. I was a huge fan of the first one. The second one came out, I didn't really care for it.
But 3 was, from what I heard, 3 was actually really, really good.
Wait, Phil, were you into Gears of War?
I played through the first one, and I was like, wow, that's a short campaign. And I don't have Xbox Live, so...
Never played the multiplayer?
I played multiplayer at your house. Oh, okay. And it was a lot of fun.
Was I there?
You were there.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
See, I got Gears of War... I got Gears of War and Xbox Live as I got my Xbox 360. And, like, that was the first time I had a console in my bedroom, I think. Because I got my TV with that as well. And so I just played that game on Xbox Live all the time. So the remake of the first game, like, I'll play it at PAX and whoop people and get a shirt. I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because they're doing that remake of the first game, which is odd, but whatever. The demo didn't look like anything I'd want to see in a Gears of War trailer. Like, I fell off the bandwagon 2 games ago, so I don't care. But, like...
It just didn't... I mean, it didn't look like a Gears of War game to me.
It was so slow, and it didn't go anywhere. And it just showed some creepy atmospheric level. But they fight, like, one thing in it.
It didn't
and
they have lose. That grittiness.
Yeah.
That, which, you know, is fine. If they want to have, like, a different, like, more color and stuff, like we've been talking about, they want to get away from that,
well, they didn't.
That gray and brown and that real drab color scheme. Rust. But, yeah, that rust color scheme.
Trying
but,
to shed that whole dark and gritty thing off a
but
bit.
But that's what makes Gears of War what it is. In
but Gears of War actually wasn't that way. It wasn't a specific color scheme. It just had a strong filter on each level. Yeah, and there were some levels gritty, that were though. Like... There were some levels that were... Oh, yeah, it was gritty. But there were some levels that were, like, green. Like, crazy green. Like, over-the-top green. It was weird. What?
Nothing. yeah, it was... I came away a little confused. It just... Like, you know, when you're watching a Gears of War gameplay demo, you expect it to just be non-stop,
just over-the-top,
just balls-to-the-wall action and...
Mm-hmm.
That was just, like you said, it was really slow. It felt like I was watching, like a Resident Evil kind of, like the modern Resident Evil, where it's more like an action game.
But, like, since it's not a horror game, I know that, like, I'm not going to care about that that part. So, yeah, poor presentation, but it could be an okay game. I just probably won't play it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be bad, and I'll honestly probably play it. I mean, I enjoy those games. They're fun enough that I would like to play a new, you know, a new one on a current generation console, but it wasn't just wasn't a great. It didn't present well. Maybe that was all they had, you know, for it. That was what they were working on. So, on to the EA conference, I guess.
Yeah,
Mass Effect.
So EA's conference.
Is that that's all we're going to talk about?
That's all I'm going to care about.
All right, well, let's move on to the.
EA's conference was, like, terrible, but they had a lot of good things that you could, like, take from it. I guess Ubisoft's was similar. It was really funny. Yeah, Ubisoft and EA just can't put on a fucking conference to save their lives, and they've been doing it for years.
I didn't think it was I mean, the thing is with, like, publisher...
They had, like, Pebe come out or whatever.
Pele?
Yeah. Pele.
They had, that part was weird. That kind of took things off track, but... I liked, we'll just kind of, I mean, we don't have to touch on all of them, but I liked, Unravel. I thought that looked cool and interesting. That was a weird.
Very unique.
Very unique.
For EA.
The nervous, unique, yarny guy.
Showing vacation pictures.
He was like all shaky and nervous and adorable, and he pulls out this hand. I made this. The yarny guy, and his hands are shaking. He's like, hello. And it was just like the most endearing thing. That guy being so like nervous and like he just seemed like a buddy.
That,
like,
game's just gonna make everyone cry.
Everybody on the internet was like really happy about that. Like that whole Jim Sterling wouldn't stop tweeting, like, bring back the yarny guy. We need more nervous devs.
Yeah. It just kinda gives you some.
It was a surprisingly good trailer for a game made by 14 people in Sweden.
Yeah, it looked like real life.
Yeah.
It was weird. Like, watching him, like, get almost hit by a car, I was like, it was weird.
It was sweet.
It looked cool. It looked interesting.
Mass Effect Andromeda? So, like, I knew this was coming, And a part of me didn't care because I felt so burned out from Mass Effect 3. Because I didn't really like Mass Effect 3 as a whole. I like things about it. But I felt like, you know, the story was going on for a long time. It kept building on itself, building on itself. It had all these characters that it kept pulling back in. And I didn't consider until this trailer happened how fucking awesome the Mass Effect universe is if you just wiped that slate clean. Not a single character, not a single anything mm-hmm. from the last game. Just back to the universe, back to the basics. Start a new story, a new everything. They showed an N7 character in the trailer. They confirmed later that that is not the character you play as, and they showed the picture of the character you play as, guy or girl. And it looks like you don't have any markings on you. You got like a sweet suit, but you could be like a smuggler for all I know.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, like
That'd be cool. Did you guys all who like beat the Mass Effect trilogy like up to 3?
Right here.
No, I didn't play 3.
Okay. I'm just curious from you guys. I never played 3 either. Okay. And I never beat it, but I am familiar with what the ending had. And I heard from a lot of people that did beat the game that they would only be interested... Well, I heard this from a few people. They would only be interested if it was a completely clean slate, like another galaxy
or something. Well, I think the reason for that is whether or not you liked the ending, it felt like such an end game. Yeah. You know, either the entire galaxy was escalated to this higher conscious, or all this shit got destroyed. You know, and, you know, I'm curious to see what they will do to build off of that. You know, how they're going to make a new trilogy that acknowledges whatever decision you may have made in Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you have that ending where the whole galaxy is, like, you know, got this whole new consciousness, there's not much more story left to tell.
Well, they could also go the easy way out and just say it's not a sequel.
They can say, like, it's going on.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It can take place in a completely...
Yeah, I mean, it is a new galaxy.
Yeah, so it could totally be... Totally different galaxy. Completely independent, different time,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah.
True.
So, yeah, I'm very intrigued, and I love the choice of music in the trailer.
The giant cat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was so weird.
I was so hyped.
When I first saw it, I was like, this has got to be Mass Effect, right? But then I heard the music, and I was like, no, this is... What is this?
Red Dead?
Yeah, Red Dead. Yeah. Published by EA?
Yeah.
That would suck. So, yeah. The other game... Now, they showed NBA Live. I thought it was cool. I don't know if you guys really care. I want that game to be good because I'm a big basketball fan, and I think it's always good when there's competition. I don't like when any game is far and away the better game. You know, there needs to be competition, especially with sports games. They can get stale. But Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Ooh.
What did everybody think about that?
I'm excited.
Looks like it's going to have new environments. Open world. I never beat the first game, but this one, I'm curious to see how it turns out. I'm sure it's going to be good. I hope they don't resort back to the what was it? The Flash animation cutscenes.
They're gone. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, thank
God. Everybody complained about those.
That almost ruined the game for some reason. Oh, wow.
I forgot about that.
The E-Trade E-Trade commercials.
Oh, God. This pissed me off.
E-Surance. That's what it
is. But, I like the... I know that you made the point a couple weeks ago playing the first Mirror's Edge that, you know, the shooting is crappy on purpose. So you can, you know, focus more on just the parkour stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't mind to see if they can give... If they just presented that option, you can use...
You want gore?
No, I don't want gore. it'd be nice to just see something, you know... That would be different and new if they just, you know, see what they went with that.
They're clearly focusing on combat,
mm-hmm.
which some people weren't too excited for, but it's clear that the combat is made smoothly. So basically what they've shown is that they have a much better development of the transitions between, like, sprinting and doing parkour and then just knocking a guy out.
Yeah, you can jump.
And keep moving.
Yeah, you can run up the walls and then jump off and bash people in the face.
So it's like...
Can you do that?
You could already do stuff like that, but you kind of had to stop. but mm-hmm. in Mirror's Edge 1. And in Mirror's Edge 2, they're making it a lot smoother, so you tie in the... You're chaining together beatdowns while getting away faster.
It's all about movement,
really. But so that's all cool. I'm into that. I like that they're improving the gameplay. I feel like that needs it. But here's the biggest thing. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I wish they would have announced fucking 2 years ago when they announced this game. It's open world. Oh my god. I love the setting so much. I love the city. And I loved the city last time in 2008. But the city was really basic. You know, pretty buildings, lots of colors that look like lime and orange. And
very citrusy.
Yeah, citrus city. And now it looks even crazier. It looks awesome. I can't wait to explore it. Like, the buildings have much more charm and just neon lights and crazy cool stuff. I just want to explore the city and be like, you know, and have more options of... I mean, it's free running for a reason. I should be able to pick which buildings to go across and which route is fastest myself without the linearness of the game telling that for me, you know. In Mirror's Edge 1, there's, like, one way to get to each platform. And it's always like, oh, I didn't notice the fucking rail there. It's like, well, yeah, if it's open world, you have a lot more options for it to be a better free-running
game. And I think with the mechanic of the game being, like, free-running and stuff, it just kind of begs to be more open because of, you know, different ways to tackle your objectives and stuff like that, so...
Yeah. And it seems like they also have a good way of... The story isn't... Like, in the first game was pretty bleh, but it's like, I think the delivery was that way, and the actual story could have been good. And so I'm interested to see where they go. This is a prequel. They could make the first game's story seem more interesting by setting up a prequel and then following up with a sequel. You'll actually be into it if it's a good game. But it seems like a lot better and a lot bigger than Mirror's Edge 1. Mm-hmm. So I'm stoked about that.
This game, I mean, we're just going to have to round robin this because we're all going to have stuff to say. They showed finally, after this chick came on and wouldn't stop talking, and they showed more concept art and, you know,
10 minutes models of how much Star Wars means to her.
They finally showed live gameplay of Battlefront. So
yeah. Can I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you can fly the ships. What everybody was freaking out before,
which was in the fucking trailers before too. You can't vehicles.
You can control them. You can fly the ships. Not only that, I don't remember if could you fight Darth Vader in the original Battlefront?
Two.
In two? Okay, so but you get to do.
He was present in the first game. You couldn't play heroes in the first, but they were there though.
They were
you know, power up, unlock things, like, but you didn't play them.
Okay.
But in the second one, you got to play it.
But it was
thank
still...
Thank you for your input. Somebody needs to keep Johnny in check.
Yeah. But it was still cool, like...
Phil.
Yeah. Turning... It was still cool just turning, like, the camera to the right, and you just have this foreboding feeling of, oh, fuck, there's Darth Vader standing right next to me about to kill me. But then, it's like, oh, here comes Luke Skywalker. And I was like, I think it's going to be a great Star Wars experience. To see that walker collapse onto the ground right in front of me is just like, that's awesome.
Had a great impact.
Yeah, a lot of impact. Everything had an impact. The music and everything. It felt like Star Wars. It's Star Wars, man. You get to do dogfights. You get to fight on the ground. You get to fight with a lightsaber. I mean, what more can you really ask for when it comes to a Star Wars experience? It'd be cool if you can actually bring out that Star Destroyer too. That'd be sweet. What if they'll go that far?
Well, no space battles, so.
Yeah. What about you, Jack? What'd you think?
I had a lot of thoughts about this. I was really glad.
Are you a big Star Wars fan as well?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've got like 8 posters in my room. It's kind of a dominating feature of my apartment. My roommate is really into it as well.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I was really happy about this trailer because a lot of people were being real negative on the internet. A lot of people were having a lot of doubts. I don't want to hear about that.
You don't. Trust me.
So
I stopped.
I mean, one of the things people were specifically talking about on that Endor trailer was like, oh, we're not getting to pilot the AT-AT. That's bull. And, I mean, in this trailer, it looked like they were piloting it.
Even if it was like an on-rails thing where you're just like shooting while it walks.
Sure.
Big deal.
Oh, no, I can't turn the really slow-moving thing and move it, you know, the wrong way.
Clunky as hell.
Why do you want to control it?
If you can't move it in any proper direction, like if it's moving where you need to go with it.
If there's only one proper route to go through, why do you need to pilot it? Yeah. It's not like, are you going to turn it into a tree or turn it off of a cliff? Plus, like,
you're going to make a quick getaway? What did you think? I'm curious to know what you think as like a big Star Wars fan. What did you think about like the feel of it? Because I think that's the most important thing about this game. Well, other than having good gameplay and stuff, is just that it captures what we all think of when we think of Star Wars and in the universe itself.
It feels like Star Wars to me.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like fantastic as far as just the blaster feel looked great. And I really liked all of the like NPC chatter over the comms. That felt great.
The audio design. I think that's the most impressive part about this entire thing. I was just like, wow.
Not even just for a Star Wars game, but the audio in that short snippet of gameplay was some of the best audio design I've heard in like a shooter just in general. It was incredible. Like the crispness of it. It felt like it really felt like you were there. Like DICE is known for having great sound design in like their Battlefield games and stuff like that, but then again, it's like all it's gunshots and explosions and stuff like that, and you hear it, and eventually you just kind of get numb to it. Like you're hearing maybe a really great quality gunshot, but it's just it's just a gunshot.
Yeah.
When you're hearing like these blasters and stuff, it really makes you realize how great the sound design is, because it's something that's unique. It's something that's different and that you don't hear all the time. So you like take each sound. Like you just feel it more.
The terrain effects and how it exploded and things that hit different types of terrains.
And they had so many like little Star Wars elements that I think that it showed their attention to detail. Like when they would shoot like stormtroopers and stuff, there would be a lot of sparks, like all the explosions, a lot of like sparks flying around and like particle effects and the sound effects when. I there was this one part where he shoots someone up close, or one of the characters shoots somebody up close, and they kind of make like this sound effect, not a Wilhelm scream.
There was a Wilhelm
scream. Was there a Wilhelm scream?
Yeah.
I was looking for it, but there was another sound effect that was another type of like somebody dying, like a groan, like, ah! And it was from a Star Wars movie. I mean, I could tell, like, hearing it, that it was from Star Wars.
Yeah.
God, it was just incredible. And the biggest thing to me... Well, not the biggest thing to me, but the biggest thing to some people is that it looked and felt nothing like a Battlefield. You know, people were going to be a lot of people when it first got announced were like, "It's just going to be Battlefield with blasters."
People are still saying
that. People are still saying that, and it's insane to me because it was not that way at all.
There's a Reddit post with 1,600 upvotes, and it says EA is not showing good consistency with this game because Luke Skywalker showed up with his Return of the Jedi garb on Hoth with a green lightsaber. He didn't have that then. And people are like, it's a fucking custom skin. I don't know who cares.
I think that could just be to the
point.
They
didn't fight there either.
Fuck you. Yeah. Just fuck you.
Yeah.
I think it was a design. I think that they did that purposefully to show that these games are like taking the best parts of the trilogy and just kind of doing like a mishmash just to make it fun. It's not like a continuity thing where it has to be.
No.
It seems like each level has some eventful thing about it. Like something
special modes.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you've got Return of the Jedi Luke in this level. So yeah, it's definitely not thinking about continuity, but it's just Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. But so I mean, like each level seems bigger than a level in the last Battlefront. The last Battlefront, a level was just a stage and capture points, and they go. And in this, it's like there's different objectives, different focal points, but they feel bigger, they seem crazier, they seem more, like they had more focus on polishing the design of these maps, and they just picked, like, classic cool areas from the classic films. Well, that's all I played when I played Star Wars Battlefront. I played those ones over and over again. I played, like, 12 maps.
Yeah.
On repeat. Mm-hmm. Daily. They were all original series levels, they're the best ones in the game. This looks like each map is going to be that kind of thing. So you know what? I'm going to play the fuck out of these 12 levels. They're going to be great. And I don't care about any other recycled okay stuff after that.
If you wouldn't have... If this gameplay would have just come out and nobody knew... Like, it was just leaked on the internet. Nobody knew who developed it or, like, where it was coming from. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have known it was a DICE game. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Like I would
other than just, Frostbite, I can tell.
It's other Frostbite. Than yeah, that's true. Maybe like the Frostbite engine.
I feel like some of the environment is like you can tell, like some of the environment detailing, like the yeah. particles on stuff, is
and in a really good way.
Too. In the most fantastic way, it is.
DICE does some things very well.
One other thing I wanted to say about the map design of what they showed for Hoth that I thought was really cool was it seemed more reminiscent of the first Battlefront than the second one to me, because the first Battlefront didn't have space battles, and so they had a lot of the ground-to-air combat. Mm-hmm. That was a huge feature of that game, and so there was a lot of maps that kind of focused on that dynamic, and this seemed to be that way because, you know, they're not doing space battles, so I think they're going to be doing the same thing of focusing on having a lot of those good ground-to-air.
That's a good point. Fights.
And it felt a lot like that, and I liked a lot of those maps from the first game better than the second game.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. I never played them enough to know, like compare the two, but I've heard kind of the general consensus is it seems to be that people are more fond of the maps from the first game than the second game, so that's good to hear. So with that, I guess we can move on to the Ubisoft conference. There isn't really like a ton of that happened in the Ubisoft conference.
There was like a couple of things.
There's a few things.
The crew, Wild Hunt.
Wild Run. Oh, Wild Hunt. The Wild Hunt chasing you in
the crew just got awesome. For Honor.
For Honor looks super cool.
That game looks fucking so cool.
Yeah. It looks really polished and like... So, did you see For Honor, Phil?
Mm-mm.
So, it's like... Are you familiar with Chivalry?
No. Well, no, I've heard it a long time. I heard that title a long time ago.
So Chivalry, and this game is a third-person hack and slash. It's like medieval and Vikings and samurai. And it's just like a multiplayer thing. It mixes some Dynasty Warriors in there to where there's, grunt units that you just destroy.
With battles of attrition going on where there's just number fighting.
And you're the general that's kind of like focusing the key points and moving... But, when you get into sword fights with other players, it's third-person, realistic, you know, heavy, heavy-feeling combat. And it's a multiplayer-focused game, at least that's how it appears. It's a new IP, and it's being published by Ubisoft, and it looks fucking awesome. Graphics look great.
One thing I wanted to say that I watched earlier today, I was actually looking for the gameplay footage from the conference, and I found a different one that was like a developer walkthrough from like the show floor. Mm-hmm. And so it was a bit longer and went into like more detail about how it worked and stuff. And the combat system, you could actually see like on-screen indicators in this footage. And it showed, he was kind of showing how it worked, and it's based on like stick movements. So it's a very like unique and strategic sort of like fighting system or combat mm-hmm. system. And he was talking about how like the samurai has a lot of offensive moves and a lot more speed and everything.
He's playing like a samurai assassin. I think I watched
the film. Yeah. And it wasn't as like great defensively. And you move the stick and like they move their sword accordingly to like block certain types of attacks. There's
different stances as well.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's awesome.
So that reminds me of like Jedi Outcast.
Well, what this reminded me of, like what the combat was to me, was a mix of Chivalry and like Blade Symphony. I don't know if any of you ever...
I've heard of Blade Symphony.
I don't think I've heard of it.
Blade Symphony was really cool because you had like three main stances, and then there were all of the moves, like all of the basic combat moves could be done in like each three stance, and you could be on the fly switching through the stances and doing all the different moves. Mm-hmm. So it created like a bunch of different combos. And this seemed to have that with like the stances, but then it also had like the directional... Chivalry element to it as well. So those are both games I'm super into. So
that's really cool. Yeah. I like that it's not that. That was one thing that they showed off that I think is really cool. Is it felt like each encounter was like a real drawn out sort of just like a war of attrition, like you said. It was just this like
war. Especially when you fight like a key unit.
Yeah,
I think I didn't see a whole lot. But I think that when you fight like the grunt NPCs, they're easier. But
oh, yeah.
Well, when you fight the big guys.
Well, what they were showing was multiplayer. They didn't show single player.
Was it single player? I thought multiplayer had the grunts in it.
Yeah, it does. But like the general character, like the generals you were seeing were
right. They were online players.
They were players. Yeah. They didn't show any single player for the game yet, which I thought was interesting that they just, because it's going to have a big single player campaign.
Oh really?
Yeah, they said, but it's
oh cool,
and which will, you know, have some explanation for like why you have like samurai and and medieval knights, but
samurai fell they into just a showed portal.
Something. Yeah. Like that. It's a classic mid-90s idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm that's good to know that it's also going to have a single-player campaign. Yeah, that was an unexpected, like, new IP, and I think it looks really sweet. Yeah. I like the more slow, like, drawn-out battle system. I think that's really neat.
Doesn't seem like your typical Ubisoft-published title.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they announced a new South Park game, which, you know, I don't follow, but it's made by Obsidian. Obsidian makes a lot of games that I like, and they always fall under hit or miss critically and financially, and I feel like they are a very deserving studio that just always has a bad rap. South Park was a real hit for them, and they're making another one, so more money for Obsidian is good news in my book.
Jack, you're a big Just Dance fan?
Oh, yeah.
I heard
Johnny
says. That's my... But that was my big draw for watching E3 this year.
So Jason Derulo came out, you were all...
Dude, I'd be so uncomfortable going to an Ubisoft press conference with
everyone's
that...
Everyone's
just like... Aisha... What's her name? Aisha Tyler?
Aisha Tyler.
I hate her! Last E3, she unveiled Rainbow Six Siege, and she fucking cried. Like, she's like, it's so emotional. This game means a lot to me. I'm like, it's fucking multiplayer shooter. Like, what?
I want to know. I'm just very curious about that. Just real quick, what point in the trailer did she like did the tears start? Like, was it like when she saw them siege through the wall? She was like, like that was the moment that a tear rolled down her.
It was just like when they showed the logo, I guess, but. She's so uncomfortable. Every pack, she did, or E3, she does the...
She overdoes
She it. Did the hashtag girlwood, because this game gives her girlwood. Like, she's so fucking offensive. She did something racist this year. I don't... It was just... I don't know.
It's weird.
So, fuck Ubisoft press conferences. There's a new Anno 2205 4X game. I think those games are actually pretty good. I just, you know, haven't followed it.
They showed more Division and Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes.
They didn't show an Assassin's Creed Syndicate gameplay demo at the Ubisoft conference.
Didn't they already show, like, a gameplay thing?
They showed one, like, on the show floor. There was, like, an E3 gameplay walkthrough, but they didn't show one at their own conference, which I thought was weird.
They showed two different trailers at two different conferences, and neither had gameplay.
They showed CG trailers that I didn't like.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were... Even with my opinion on the Assassin's Creed franchise, I think that... Objectively, they just weren't good trailers.
Yeah, especially the second one. I was like, well, there's a girl in this? It seems like they're just kind
of
like...
People were all pissed off about Unity, so they had to go ahead and...
It seemed like she was just forced to tell the story.
One thing I liked about watching the, you know, female character introduction trailer was that was more what I kind of expected when I first heard about this game being a thing. Like, I was expecting more of, like, the, you know, the dark... London at night thing.
Yeah.
But the other stuff we've seen has been very, like, it reminds me of Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
very
exactly. Much so.
You're
yeah.
Peaky Blinders.
I will say that the gameplay demo they showed off was kind of cool. Like, he, like, fights on top of a carriage, like, seamlessly. Like,
there's a lot of fist fighting, too.
Yeah, he beats the shit out of a guy and, like, kicks him off the carriage into the street below to get eaten by the civilians. That's what? Just the way I picture it.
There's a lot of creative points to the game, but, like, with every Assassin's Creed, and I don't fucking care anymore. They burn me too bad.
It's just, it's like we've talked about this. This could be really cool and exciting if Unity didn't happen, if there was an Assassin's Creed game that most people, I mean, let's face it, most people that did actually play and beat Unity probably only beat it, what, 6 months ago? I mean, they're long games.
Yeah.
You know, so 6, 7, 8 months ago. It hasn't even been a full year since you played the last one, and some people even shorter. I don't know. It's just, for games like that, it's just weird to me to have annual franchise, but that's for another discussion. One thing that they did show off that just kind of blew me away, personally, was Ghost Recon Wildlands. Did you see this trailer?
I actually didn't.
Oh!
Did you see this by any chance?
Mm-mm.
What the fuck?
You're fired. Why are you still here?
Yeah. Pack up your bags.
I'm just kidding. Phil's not fired for all the Phil fans out there.
for all the people that don't follow up and all the E3 stuff.
This is just like all the Phil fans start like squeezing their Phil plushies and vaping.
Yeah. Those Phil plushies that we sold on our fans store. The only thing that sold.
Yeah. Jeez, am I really that cool to you people
listening to this? It's your art, man. You win them over with those... with your art.
The
your
hentai art. You wrote that, though.
Your hentai art. What?
You wrote the Bloodborne thing.
Oh, come on, Phil. Don't give me that much credit. So they show this Ghost Recon Wildlands. So for you guys that haven't seen it, the trailer starts out and they're kind of introducing it like with this, like the Mexico drug cartels and talking about like just all the bad people and that there needs to be a strong force to fight them. And, you know, you get together like the best soldiers you can find. And at this point, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. They say it's a return of a franchise. So I'm like, okay, well, it must be something Ubisoft. It wasn't until like the trailer was well underway that I'm like, wait, is this a Ghost Recon game?
Yeah.
And it's this, it, for one, it looked amazing. It had kind of a, it looked a bit like, The Division, like the engine and like the animation quality and stuff like that. But it's, they said it's an open world game. It showed them like getting in vehicles and driving to like lookout points. Like they had like a sniper perched.
Four player co-op all times.
They had a sniper perched like on a mountain top, like a hill way far away. And then like other people, like infiltrating this stronghold, like
paratrooping in Just Cause style.
And yeah, they showed the scenario like three different times with like a stealth action approach and then whatever kind of an in between.
That's a cool way to do that.
So so basically, it was 90% of the trailer was just how are all these ways we can go about going through this one mission. And so they show this one mission, and you think that's, you know, that's it, that's the whole trailer. And when they show all the ways. Then they kind of just show all the people, all the troops, like, exploring, and they're driving around South America, and the environments are massive, they're stunning, and they're incredibly diverse. Like, they're just gorgeous.
It showed a soldier, like, walking around a city populated with a bunch of people. He's, like, just walking around.
Cities, villages, there were, like, dense rainforests.
And snowy areas.
It was, like, everything I liked about, like, the first Just Causes, very Latino, open world. Like,
no. Very Latino, open world.
Very Latina.
Very Latina.
Did I say Latina?
I don't know.
I mean, you're turning into me, bro.
It just like turned beet red, as I said.
But you fell off the fucking chair.
To our Latino viewers, I'm sorry. anyways, so yeah, you're going through this something world, and I liked it.
Okay, I'm just gonna highlight it.
Yeah, and it was obviously more grounded in reality, so it was like. It was like what was cool about a game like Just Cause or like an open world, like warfare game, civilian warfare or guerrilla warfare, but done in a more realistic way, like traditional Ghost Recon or Tom Clancy games. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what else it's gonna have or what they mean by open world. Is it just gonna be like a true open world, or is it gonna be like objective based where you move from point to point in an open world? I don't know.
What was also confusing, because I was super stoked, like, cool, South America, I love that setting, but then they showed, they like zoomed out the map and then they showed Europe and North America.
I think that they were just implying that you are a globe-trotting force of badasses that go wherever the hell.
That'd be crazy,
you know, that just goes everywhere, which is cool, because I originally kind of thought, is it just going to be in Mexico, because that doesn't sound like too appealing for a large campaign.
Yeah.
If it's just going to be in one place.
But, like, South America as a whole has got a lot of, you know, different...
Yeah, South America.
Pretty much that was the trailer. It was just a bunch of different South American countries. So,
I think that... Are we ready to go to the Sony conference?
I don't know.
Yes, I'm very ready.
The Sony conference...
Which I loved.
Yeah, I loved it too. It kicked off with something that...
I think that I thought at one point that I was never going to see this game ever again. And that was The Last Guardian.
Now, who all played Shadow of the Colossus here, or Ico?
I played Shadow of the Colossus for a while, a long time ago, and I've always wanted to play them, and there's not really anything that looks a thing like them. Even if you look at the old PlayStation 2 games, they still look interesting. The thing that's really cool about this gameplay trailer is that you didn't really have anyone describing what was happening. Mostly out of the fact that, or at least it feels as if you can't really describe what's being shown there. You just have to show it. That big damn dog animal looks like it's going to play a huge part. And
am I the only one that thought that thing was kind of scary?
Big damn bird.
It scared me a little bit.
It looks completely lovable. It's scary, but you want to hug
dog bird?
How do you know? What if it fucking eats you like 10 hours in, and then you just play as this thing wreaking havoc on a poor village?
It becomes destruction. The Last Guardian is going to be the spiritual successor to Shadow of the Colossus. Is going to be Hulk Ultimate Destruction.
Yeah,
yeah.
Destroy cities.
It looks wonderful.
What did you think?
So Ico, Shadow of the Colossus are tied together. Ico is a sequel to Shadow of the Colossus.
Interesting.
And somehow this game fits in that trilogy. Hmm. So that's another reason why people wanted to see it, is because loosely the lore does, yeah, it ties together in a very, very cool way, which would be a huge spoiler to people who haven't played and beaten Shadow of the Colossus, which they must do. But yeah, I've been waiting forever. I remember being in like early high school.
It got announced in 2008, I think, wasn't it? 2008,
maybe?
Maybe it was 2008.
Forever ago.
Yeah.
It was a long fucking time.
And so it's like it was announced then. Like, oh my god. I can't imagine.
You said you played the Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
So what did you think about this footage?
I mean, I don't really have words. Like, yeah, it was really exciting. Like, I had butterflies just watching, and It's weird,
watching something that you'd never thought that you'd
see. Yeah, I had lost hope. Yeah. I thought this was done. I thought this was in the closet. I just thought it was gone. So I'm incredibly happy. I have to get a PS4.
Yeah. They showed more. What else we got in here? They showed more Battlefront footage. So this game, a new IP for Sony. They showed this being developed by Guerrilla Games. Which they announced they were working on something before E3, but
and they also announced before E3 that they hired Witcher 3 devs to make some open world RPG project,
which makes this even more exciting. But they showed this game called Horizon Zero Dawn. I don't remember that subtitle. It's a weird subtitle.
Yeah,
I just
Zero Dawn.
It's a post-apocalyptic sort of robotic future kind of thing, but kind of portrayed in a way that I've never really thought about before. The robots, they're just animals. They're creatures.
They travel.
She even felt bad for killing one.
Yeah.
In the trailer.
They travel in herds, and I guess you kill them for resources. And that's pretty much the only information you have on the story, we all have on the story so far. But, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is kind of has some Witcher 3 vibe to it, and it makes sense now, because there's Witcher 3 devs on it. Looks great.
It's post-apocalyptic, prehistoric, sci-fi, dino robot game.
It looks like as if civilization were to restart, with what we have now. Like, it's going back to hunter-gatherers in prehistoric times.
Yeah, sick-ass crossbows.
With a sci-fi twist to it. So.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. It was the most unique post-apocalyptic setting that I've seen in quite a while.
I agree.
Someone said it reminded them of Enslaved as well, which I didn't really play much of, but I saw it.
Yeah,
I
could see that.
It looked like that. I don't have a whole lot to say other than it looks promising and I like the idea. I've never liked anything Guerrilla Games has put out. I like how Killzone games all look, and I don't like how they play. I'm just terrible at them. They're really slow feeling. So I hope that I'll like how this one plays.
The gameplay concept looked really cool.
It did, and it looked totally different. It is totally a different type of thing. So I think that maybe they're stepping into some bounds that they're really good at, and they just didn't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So after that, they showed a trailer for the new Hitman.
That was during Sony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so, according to this.
And it's all mostly CG, but judging by the trailer, Agent 47 shows no signs of slowing down.
I thought he looked younger.
Yeah, he looked younger, so there's no signs of slowing down.
This is a sweet trailer, by the way. I was really into that.
Yeah, it was a cool trailer.
The gameplay trailer, the one that showed gameplay, I liked. The one at the Sony conference was cool. But
wait, I didn't see the gameplay trailer, and I watched the Sony conference. I just saw the CG trailer.
It wasn't. It was later on. It was in the Square Enix.
Yeah, that was. That's right. That was today.
Yeah.
I didn't get to pay attention much, but I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, it teased at this kind of interesting, like, idea that they have for the Hitman games, or the newest Hitman game, where they're going to have, like, a sort of, I don't know, they're going to have, like, a live, procedurally generated Hitman experiences. Like, they're going to be, I don't know, giving you updates or something like that, or DLC. It didn't really seem like DLC. It seemed like it was going to be community-driven sort of Hitman missions, which is very interesting, and I'm curious to see how that will work.
Couldn't tell if it was open world or not.
No, I.
But it looked kind of like it was almost set up for that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it looks sweet. I need to play the last one. I really do. I need to get caught up because I love Hitman and its ideas, but I just don't. You know, haven't really been up to date with it.
You like Hitman?
I have to admit, I haven't played those games. I've considered it a bunch of times, mm-hmm. but just never made time for it. But
that's fair.
This looks like a really cool game that I'd be interested in.
Next on the list is something. I'm just seeing it here. Like,
I'm shocked that we're all shocked it's even being made. I mean, I watched you and River play it when I was a kid, when we were kids. But
and
I,
we were grown.
Yeah, and
I used to babysit you.
Yeah, fuck you. But anyway, as someone who hasn't really been a huge hardcore fan of this particular franchise, I'm as shocked that it's happening as anyone here.
Yeah, you so...
It made me sharp myself.
Yeah, wow. For those of you that didn't see it, which I'm sure most of you that are listening did, they brought Yu Suzuki on stage, who was the director of Shenmue 1 and 2. And several other Sega franchises. He worked on Virtua Fighter and other things. Tons of things. Knights, I believe.
Bike one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They brought him on stage to announce his Kickstarter campaign going live for Shenmue 3.
Which is the fastest Kickstarter goal reached in Kickstarter history, I read.
Yeah, 2 million in 12 hours.
I still can't believe it. Like I just can't believe that it's actually like in sight and happening. For those of you that didn't play Shenmue 2, or 1 for that matter, it left on a huge cliffhanger. Like you play as this young kid named Ryo. He's like a teenager. He's older.
2.7 million now, by the
way. Wow, that's incredible. And Your father gets killed at the beginning of Shenmue 1. Like, that's the first thing that happens. And you set out on this huge adventure, and it has, like, all these, like, life simulation elements. Like, you work, like, you have, like, jobs and stuff like that. And it was just, it was so ahead of its time, and it was a very unique and different game. And it was just a huge, just massive game for its time. I mean, the stuff that you did in that... it was just incredible, and like I said, it left on a huge cliffhanger. And anybody that played it has been clamoring for this game for 14 years. I never, if I was to make a bet on this game, I would have bet against it ever coming out. I just never saw this happening. And it's cool that it's, you know, a Kickstarter campaign. It's also a little worrying personally, just because with any Kickstarter campaign, you never know quite what's going to happen. But
I feel like with this one in particular, with this kind of game, it can't really fail. I mean, it's got Sega. Really, Sega's backing this game up.
Yeah.
And this is just gauging interest, because they don't have much numbers to gauge old interest on, because they were both released on dying consoles.
Right.
The first one was on the Dreamcast as it was dying, and they both had huge budgets for the time. And the second one was on the original Xbox. Like, didn't even sell in Japan then with the second one. So Like
it was also a very limited release on the original Xbox. Like it was, you know, it wasn't the kind of game that got like marketing and stuff like that. It just kind of came out.
It's probably really hard for them to gauge. And a lot of people are complaining, like, oh, why did they go to Kickstarter? Why did Sony show it off? Sony's being greedy. I don't think Sony has any decision here. I think it's all Sega. It's on the PS4, so Sony was like, sure, yeah, we'll do it at E3. It'd be huge press for both of them. And, yeah, I mean, God, I couldn't imagine. This game has got to be such, like, an emotional, hard-hitting game for any fan.
Oh, God.
Because not only is it heavily story-based and super niche, but, like, this amount of time, like, back when the last game came out, people led different lives completely. I mean, it was 14 years ago. So, like, that's just got to be like, what? No. What?
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like, it's overwhelming to think about. Like, I just can't believe it. I mean, I was, like, speechless that it was...
And the shitty voice acting is still there.
Good.
It's amazing.
I told you this earlier today. If this game has good voice acting, I'll be pissed. I don't want it.
The Kickstarter trailer is amazing. It's just, like, it just starts out with a Chinese girl asking him, and he's like, can you jump? He's like, yes.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, so I honestly got like a little emotional when I saw that. It was so bizarre and like no fucking way. It was shocking. Because yeah. I've always known. I knew when I was in the sixth grade about Shenmue. I just didn't play it. I always wanted to. But yeah. In fact, I remember how I found out about Shenmue in the sixth grade was like, it's been so long and we've waited so long for a sequel. Mm-hmm. It was like on a TV special. I was like, wow.
Yeah, the games were just unlike anything. And the very nature of those games was like tying you to the character because you, like I said, there was like life simulation elements to it. So you get emotionally invested in these characters and like trying to find the person who killed his dad because mm-hmm. you're like meeting all these new people and you're just living life and you go back to the hotel where you're staying at to save games and like go to bed for the night and then start over the next day, and it was just a huge experience for its time, and it was hard not to get like just really invested in the story and characters. So just having any sort of finality to that story, I mean, at this point I would have settled for like a graphic novel to come out and be like, here he found his dad's killer and he karate chopped his fucking head off. I was like, okay, cool. You know, I can put that behind me now. But
put it to bed.
But yeah, put it to bed. But now it's actually happening in game form, and that's just great. So next on the list, go ahead.
Firewatch. So this is, I think, an indie title, and I was really surprised. I hadn't seen. Apparently, they'd had trailers for this before, or at least one. I think at GDC. Or was it past E3?
I don't remember where the first trailer was, but
I think it was like some small. I don't think it was at E3. It was a smaller conference, I'm pretty sure. But I think they showed it last E3.
Interesting. I don't know. Maybe I did see it, but the
it
game
more recent.
It has a very good art style.
Mm-hmm.
And the aesthetic is awesome.
It kind of falls in line with the pirate game, how everything's a lot more colorful.
Are you looking at Anti?
No, I'm looking at
dude. That's not cool, man.
Refresh my memory.
You were looking at it.
Bible Black.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, what? what is that?
The truth comes
out. I'm
going to
look
out.
That up immediately after we're done.
Like we look at
just,
right now.
Just it's weird. Just so you know, I'm not interested in the
no,
she-dick.
Don't justify it now. Wait, what? Are you finally admitting to this?
Bible Black's a hentai.
It's a hentai. I know video. About it. I only know about it.
He even knows one of the characters. He knows one of the characters. You said something. I'm not into the she dick.
I know about one of the characters.
What better way to know about something than to watch it six times?
No, not six times.
Just three.
Just three.
Okay. All right, moving on.
Oh, wait, no, we were talking about Firewatch. It's really good. No, okay, so Firewatch looked really intriguing, really simple, and the dialogue and writing, man, I just was instantly very gripping, and the delivery of everything was perfect. This is my kind of game. It didn't show any strong like gameplay. It was just a lot of story through first person stuff, you know.
It was very captivating. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool. It reminded me of like a book, like a mystery novel.
Someone hit it like a Hardy Boys.
Yeah. Like, of all the teases that have been at E3 so far, this was a tease. Like, what is going on?
What's in that tower?
It seemed like it even showed more in the last trailer, like, as far as what was going on. Like, this showed even less. It did confirm first-person turtling, though.
Yeah.
First-person turtling. Oh.
FPT.
FPT. I want to know what happens in the story. Mm-hmm. It seems like the kind of game that could go into a very, very odd place. Like, it just get very dark or something.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be super dark.
Yeah.
That game's going to be dark as heck.
Something scary is going to happen. That girl's going to be like a serial killer.
Yeah, she's going to be the one in the fucking tower.
Well, I think it's going to be like, there's going to be an imposter ranger, like, walking around. Because if there's somebody in the tower and, like, what did it say? Like, the player character was the last person seen with the people who disappeared or something.
Yeah, the two girls.
Yeah, right.
It might not have been him.
I just love that this is like, it's got a cartoony art style, but it seems like it's an incredibly realistic game, and they could actually follow through with that. There could be no weird supernatural bullshit or anything.
I don't want there to be. I want it to just be a straight up like mystery.
It's weird to think of how many games don't really like have that.
I hope it ends on like a really poorly written, like, it's just his twin brother.
Yeah, so it's just like the Gone Home ending. He was gay. Game over.
Yeah. So this one, Phil, this is right up your alley. What? Why don't you just take the next one? The next announcement.
So speaking of an emotional response into a game that people have been waiting so many fucking years for. This game is a game that caused people in the crowd during the conference to stand up with their hands on their heads going, oh my god, it's actually happening. So you open up with this city and this speech being made, and you see a bunch of people walking in this slum, and then you see a gun attached to a black guy's hand, then you see a blonde dude with a big-ass sword, and then you hear then you shit your pants, and the da 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 da.
Most classic.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Yes, just the CG alone.
Know what he's doing.
Just the CG alone. It's Final Fantasy VII music, you bastard. You know, da 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 da.
Okay. Please stop.
The CG. Okay, of course there's no gameplay or anything like that. The announcement that it's being done is enough to make. No.
You mean redone, specifically.
It's being redone. It's just. I found out about this yesterday, and
everybody did.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just from my own side. God damn it! Shut the fuck up.
I know. I'm sorry. You're an emotional
just the fact that it just doesn't seem real. I showed it to my cousin, who he loves Final Fantasy VII more than I did, and so I'm just so happy to have posted that up on his page. So I'm sure he found out about it, maybe an hour or so before. Oh man, I mean just what do I want from this game? Honestly, I don't ask too much of it. They can kind of just do the same thing that they did with the materia system, or they can do something entirely different. Or they can just go ahead and, like, I don't know, give a couple of nods to the materia system and, you know, blend it with some other ideas. Either way, what matters to me first and foremost is doing justice to those moments in the original game that made it special. Bring that to the 21st century.
Yeah, I wonder how much of the game are they going to remake? Mm-hmm. One thing that gets me really excited about it is that I am really looking forward to a classic turn-based JRPG that's big budget. We don't see those anymore. Last time I did was Lost Odyssey, and it was like one of my favorite games ever. I really hope they don't just go like, oh, action combat system, or we rethought this. That being said, though, I know that Jack knows this most of all out of anybody. Final Fantasy VII is still, you know, is a pretty flawed game, and people kind of like blindside those flaws. And this is a good opportunity to.
It needs a remake. Did anybody just hear that weird siren that made a sound that no sirens ever made?
There are parts of Seven that don't hold up, and I agree.
Not important. So you're a Final Fantasy fan?
Oh yeah, I've played every numbered title. Besides, I've finished 13, and I haven't played 13-2 or Lightning Returns.
Can I ask you, just out of pure curiosity, what is your? Do you have a favorite?
For like old ones, six. Six is probably my favorite, yeah. And for newer era, 12.
Okay, so favorite. 6 and 12.
Okay, that's very fair.
So, what did you think about it? The announcement, I guess.
I mean, I'm excited to play because I've been thinking about doing a replay of 7 for a while. I recently bought the Steam version,
mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll just wait on this. But here's the thing: like, I'm excited about playing it. I think 7 is great. I don't mm-hmm. think it's as great as everyone thinks it is.
I've heard that from actually a lot of Final Fantasy.
It is a very polarizing game. There are people that feel very passionately about it, and then
like you,
but not as much as you think.
Touching up on it though, like if they cut out the fluff and the bullshit and they fixed things or made some things better, could they make it really, really good?
I mean, just I feel like I don't really think the thing about that game is I didn't think there was anything particularly compared to other games around that time that made it like. Better, like in terms of story or like just a lot of things. I think that what made it really cool at the time was that it was the first like 3D mm-hmm. Final Fantasy.
It was the right place at the right time.
Yeah, it was very, yeah. And so people carry a lot of nostalgia from that. And so a lot of people who weren't really into or haven't played a lot of Final Fantasy, they go back and they play that game and they experience those elements of the game that were like new introductions or good for that time. And they don't play all the other ones to get right. really context, so they don't. I don't know.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people that it's like a standalone experience. Like they, like you said, they maybe some people that haven't played other Final Fantasy games or even other JRPGs that think it's like the best thing. But I've heard from a lot of people who've played a lot of the numbered Final Fantasy titles that it's not. It isn't the best out of them. It's not as good as
the usual consensus is like 6.
Yeah, there is side note, there is this really great video by this guy named he calls himself the Completionist. He does like this several episode special, and he just breaks down every aspect of why he does love Final Fantasy VII, and it's really really fascinating to watch, even if you're not into 7. But it kind of sums up the reasons why it was important to me as a kid. I'm an artist, and I'm actually not the biggest JRPG fan. I loved Final Fantasy as a kid, and I loved the lores, and I loved the characters,
and the music, clearly.
But what made it so special to me was it made me want to draw, and because I'm an artist. I owe an aspect of my identity to Final Fantasy VII for make me want to bring that world to life in the only way I knew how, through pencil and paper. So that is why I am very happy that this game's coming out, and I'm sold. So
that's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Deep. I cried.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad that you're excited, Phil. I may, I hope that they do right by the people that are really excited for this and actually put a lot of effort and time into this.
So, is the executive producer one of? The, I don't know. Is he one of the original directors of? Is he the director of the original game, the original 7?
I don't think so. Because wasn't the
no?
Because that was still
this is Nomura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Tetsuya.
The guy who made 7 was still.
Sakaguchi.
Yeah.
And then he made the movie, and that was when they gave him the boot.
So they also showed, they showed Black Ops 3. I don't know if you guys...
Hey, I skipped the last two Call of Duties. That means this one's going to be damn good.
That's when Call of Duty's best, when it's actually fresh.
Yeah, when you skip...
You have to institute your own delays. In the
game. Yeah, when I was watching it, I actually didn't know it was a Call of Duty game. I was like, this looks kind of like Call of Duty, but this there's a lot of decapitations happening.
Was that?
It's like a... Was yeah, the Black Ops... The Black
Fuck
Ops...
kind of game was he watching?
No, it was Black Ops 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, was people were getting blown up during the multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, I think...
Oh, I remember the guy getting blown up. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, there's a... It's going to be... It's a lot more gory, and I didn't think it was Call of Duty.
It's, like, progressively more arcadey and crazy, and mm-hmm. I love that. There's lots of sliding and wall jumping and wall running and stuff.
My dad's going to love that.
I didn't play the last one, which had that. So, like, I love Black Ops 2.
Last one's fun.
Black Ops 2 was good. I skipped Advanced Warfare because... I don't know. But Ghost was... Because Ghost and Titanfall burned me so bad. I was just like, meh. But, yeah, I won't have time to play it, though, because there's too many fucking games coming out. But, hey, yeah, if I do have time, maybe I'll play some multiplayer of Black Ops.
Can you guys just back me up and agree that Phil loves gore? I mean, just from your limited experience with it.
It seems, I mean, just from the
listen,
one...
Listen, I don't...
You're a gore boner, dude.
No. First of all, I don't like torture porn. Okay, I don't like.
No, he just likes. He just likes Bible black.
Nobody brought that up.
He just likes Bible black porn.
No, it's fun being Geralt and hacking people up. Do you not find that satisfactory?
I find it fun. We don't.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
It's cool to like gore.
Which gore is the best gore?
Absolutely. I love. I do like me some gore. I like me some gore.
Okay.
But it's got to have good to go with it.
Okay. Just keep repeating it until it goes insane.
So, one thing I will say that's not even on this list, and unfortunately, I mean, they just kind of skimmed through it real quick, but they showed Street Fighter V footage, mm-hmm. and they announced two returning characters.
And people played the demo.
Some alpha favorites.
People played the demo. Cammy, who was in Street Fighter IV, but in one of the later versions. And then Birdie. Now, Birdie, just for you guys that don't know all of the lore of Street Fighter like I do, because, you know, let's face it, I'm cooler than you guys. And I spent a lot of my time in sixth grade reading the lore of a fighting game.
That
doesn't matter at all.
Watching the shitty anime.
Watching the animes, doing things that, yeah. Dude,
no, Alpha and Alpha Sigma are both cool. That's what
Alpha Sigma is not a game in the Street Fighter.
No,
franchise,
no,
right?
The animes. I'm talking about the animes.
Yeah, they were. So Birdie comes from. He was actually in Street Fighter 1. Mm-hmm. In the very first Street Fighter, Birdie was a character in that. And then when they created the Alpha franchise, because it was a prequel franchise, they brought a lot of characters from the original Street Fighter, and Birdie was one of them. And that was his last appearance. So Birdie hasn't been in a game since Street Fighter Alpha 3. But now he is making his comeback in Street Fighter V, which is cool. I like that they're changing it up, introducing new characters or returning characters.
Yeah.
He looked like he had some pretty cool like techniques, like the whatever they call them, the V trigger or whatever. He like spits fire and turns all red. He looks like he's put on some weight since the Alpha series. He had a bit of a belly on him. But he's been away for a while, so, you know, he's feeling the effects of aging, I guess. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I can't wait for Street Fighter V. And then
early demo impressions were very positive.
Yeah, from the fighting game community, in the Street Fighter community,
and just casual community too.
Just casual community.
Journalists are like, this feels great.
I've heard there was like this guy that actually like went. He created like a Word document where he went through and listed like all these. Really intuitive and like tiny minute details about the game, like how many frames was like a counter for this attack and like all these different things when he went and played the demo of it. And the consensus has been really positive from the casual community and the people who play Street Fighter like competitively, so that's always a good thing. I'm super stoked for it. And then Sony ended the conference with a really fucking awesome Uncharted gameplay demo.
Man, it was cool.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was just perfectly like Uncharted. Like mm-hmm. the banter with him and Sully. Mm-hmm. Sully's looking older. Mm-hmm. And he's too old for this shit. I'm sure they'll say that. He's like 90 now. Gosh, quit bringing him on these journeys.
And he keeps like...
He's the healthiest looking 90-year-old ever. Yeah.
No, he's...
Keeps getting shot.
Dude, you're driving like a Jeep over
actual driving too, not like an on rails.
Yeah, and you're driving it over other cars, and you're just It was like an Indiana Jones chasing, like it would be, you know, like it should be.
I just want to say real quick, I got a text from my cousin, and all he said was, "I've been really excited for Firewatch for a long while. It's going to be fucked up and uncomfortable."
Is this live? Are we streaming?
That sums it up pretty well. Yeah, we're live streaming with text from my cousin. So, yeah, the Uncharted footage I thought was sweet. The graphics were incredible. Like, the destructible environments and the physics and stuff, and, like, punching a dude through a fucking fruit cart or whatever it was. That was cool. I like that stuff.
I'm excited. I want to come out and play it.
You excited?
I only played the first half of the first game.
Well, luckily for you, you can get the Nathan Drake collection when it comes out and play through all of them before you get 4.
Remastered.
I suppose I can do
which
that.
The first
I would
one
recommend
desperately needed.
And that was it for the Sony conference. It was a really awesome conference.
Yeah, they won.
Yeah, Sony won again.
Well, last year in my opinion Nintendo won, but not this year.
Yeah,
Nintendo to suck fuck dick.
Jesus. Yeah,
I mean they're all right.
I thought Nintendo had a pretty poor outing.
It was weak.
It was bad.
It was bad.
I mean, there was a lot of things that people were hoping they would see, which didn't show up, like a new Metroid, or like something that Retro Studios was working
something
on.
Something substantial at all.
Something substantial. A new like big Mario title, like Mario Sunshine 2. Or like a new galaxy type game, like something on that scale.
Even something that wasn't that big of a scale thing, like they teased Diddy Kong and two new unannounced games. So I'm like, oh, sweet, could be a new Donkey Kong Returns or some Donkey Kong something. Oh, I love that. Or I'd be interested. No, all they got is weird little spin-off things. They got Triforce Heroes for Legend of Zelda on the 3DS, which is basically bringing back four swords. That's cool. Like,
looks cool.
Seemed like a alright game. Alright. No big deal. Star Fox Zero, I think it looks like fun. It's going back to classic Star Fox 64. Star Fox, it looks fucking terrible. It looks like old Star Fox. They haven't re-envisioned it at all. It doesn't look like an HD console game. It looks like Star Fox 64. Some things did look good.
But I want to play it.
I want to play it too, and I probably will. I don't see
anything to complain about. I thought it looked great.
I love Star Fox. I don't know. I thought it didn't look that
It's innovative. Being co-developed by Platinum.
That was surprising. Cool.
I think that Star Fox looked really fun and stuff. I think that it just suffered from being brought down because it ended up... So, in this conference, it ended up being their big game.
By far the
And big game. Maybe it wasn't... It's not the kind of game that should be held on that pedestal.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if that wasn't the case.
No, and it's not Star Fox's fault or the developers of that game because it looks sweet. It looks fun. But when it's, like, the standout game from Nintendo's conference, then you, like... Then it's like held to a higher standard, almost. You know what I mean? Like just as far as the conference goes.
Yeah, it's an incredibly simple game. Going back to, the original. I'm glad that the third person running around is gone. That's good.
I'm not.
The tank.
I want a cover shooter in Star Fox.
Yeah. No, the fact that the tank is back, that was sweet. The bosses look sweet. The story's probably going to be fucking sweet. The game's going to feel good. But usually Star Fox games are pretty short on average, but they're good. Like, I'll play.
A lot of replay value.
I beat Star Fox 64 like
back
30
then.
Times.
But that's what... I think they still would. Like, I feel like the type of arcadiness of what those games are, I think, is just kind of hop in and play a little bit of Star Fox.
Yeah.
Do a barrel roll. As they said at the end of the trailer, really awkwardly. They just like fucking edited in the sound bite.
Do a barrel roll. Did I get that off my desktop from 2003? Like,
yeah. I mean, I thought it looked really good. I thought it looked fun. I just, overall, I was disappointed. I would have liked to see more Zelda, like just a quick snippet.
Anything.
They did announce that Zelda is coming out on Wii U.
Would have saved their press conference. Metroid Prime Federation Force. Like, I'm not a Metroid Prime fan, but I have a lot of friends that are. And I'm sure that... I haven't talked to them yet, but I'm sure that was a slap in the face to anyone who loves Metroid. Because, like, what the fuck was that?
It looked like a cute little game. Like, I mean, it
yeah. Well, enjoyable. What Metroid Prime fan who's been waiting years for the return wants a cute little game with big head guys?
Now, here's the thing, though. For like Metroid fans, it's not even just necessarily Metroid Prime. Just a new actual Metroid game, and that's kind of what some people were hoping that like Retro Studios was working on, and
yeah.
Then there was just. I mean that was what they got was that game
and you know if it's good it's good but
nothing they showed off looked bad.
No, it's just a bunch of cute little games, kind of like Captain Toad Treasure Tracker or something. Which last year there was an abundance of those, and that was great. I really enjoyed seeing those because there were these big things in between.
Smash Brothers, Mario Kart.
To be like, oh, I'm not going to buy this, but I'm happy about it. Like I would have felt more that way if there was one thing. But there really wasn't. Their biggest thing was Mario Maker and Yoshi's Woolly World. Yoshi's Woolly World looks fucking great. I think it looks cute as fuck. But the game... The game... And Mario Maker and Star Fox and Zelda, these were all announced last year. The
Mario
things that were announced...
Mario Tennis looks cool.
Yeah, Mario Tennis looks awesome, except for I'm still not into how it displays where the ball is going to land.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They had that on the recent DS.
Yeah, that was...
Was that not N64? Because that was... I don't think that was...
I don't remember that being on N64.
Yeah,
I remember that. Wait, the ball? The showing where the ball is going to drop?
The N64 one's the only one I played, and that was always there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I just forgot about that.
I played the shit out of the N64 one.
So did I.
Oh, I love that
game. Yeah, I played
that. That was the only Mario sport game that I got into the most. Really got into it all. So I actually was happy to see that. I don't think I'll buy it, but I'm sure friends will, and I'll play it. I'll like it, but like, and they didn't need a sport game on the.
You're not invited to my Mario Tennis party then.
No, but I said I liked it.
Nope.
But I said.
Am I invited?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Fuck! am I fired?
No, not quite.
All sorts of amiibo shit. A new Mario and Luigi game, but it didn't look very good to me. I don't know.
Yeah. So, overall, just... You know, it was just kind of... It was underwhelming to me, anyway.
They had... Yeah, they at least they show a ton of promise for next year.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, Nintendo's screwed. It's just kind of like a... Oh, well, this is just what's coming out. Soon. And like, alright, well, so nothing much. Xenoblade Chronicles has a release date. That's big. And it's December, so it's not... It's like
that's cool.
It's after a lot of... But I think that's probably going to be where Persona 5 comes out, and that game's going to be like, fuck that. So, compared to Persona 5.
So, with that said, I guess we can move on to the last conference. At least the last one we're going to talk about, and that's the Square Enix conference.
Starting off with Star Ocean, Integrity and Faithlessness.
John, I just want to say, I just double-checked on what you said. It didn't show where the ball was going to land. Mario Tennis N64.
How the fuck do you find that?
I looked at a video.
Well, how come I remember it?
I don't know, man.
Even if you don't, like, want to record ever again... We should just at least conference you in so you can just fact-check John.
So, Star Ocean Poor Naming Choices is coming out on the PS4 and next year. And I talked about it in like the first podcast I was on for an eternity. I talked about how it was like the endless game.
Yeah, because it was called Until the End of Time.
Yeah, and this game is going to, you know, since the name really focuses on what the game is really about, this is going to be about integrity and faithlessness.
Can I just say something real quick that I just read that's completely off topic?
Yes.
According to this, Sony is officially funding and helping with the development of the newly announced Shenmue 3. Sony's director of third-party production, Gio Corsi, revealed at E3 2015 today.
So that
makes me even more excited.
So they gauged interest, and we're like, okay, now
we'll... Okay, cool. Yeah. All these people paid their money, now let's put more money in it. And,
what's dumb is that there's a lot of content stretch goals for, like, really high stretch goals. Like, $4 million to start the first one.
I think Sony should just fund them by putting, like, $100 million in their Kickstarter campaign.
The Kickstarter is like, okay, sweet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so they announced, you know, Star Ocean was already announced. It's probably going to be mediocre. So who knows where that'll go. Because the last one was terrible. More Tomb Raider. Final Fantasy VII didn't really show anything new about that.
Showed the same trailer again.
Mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts 3 got a new trailer. That was probably the biggest thing that they did at the Square. That looked
cool. They showed gameplay.
This looked interesting.
Yeah, it looked really good for Kingdom Hearts. As somebody who's beaten Kingdom Hearts 2, it looked like Kingdom Hearts 3.
Fun.
Looked like what I imagined it a long time ago.
I guess just like when I watched that, the one thing that stuck out to me was that the environment, like while it looked really good, and I liked the aesthetic of the environment, like I was like, is this Kingdom Hearts environment? Like it seemed like a little bit unfitting.
That's fair.
It looked like, yeah, the texturing and how they molded the landscape looked like the pirate game and the Firewatch game, kind of. Yeah. Like, the textures have that really smoothness. There's a little bit
too much detail to it, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. It looked cool, but it was just not, like, playful enough.
Disney movie level.
Yeah, it didn't really have, like, that kind of whimsical sort of, like feel to it that I would kind of expect that. It just looked like kind of a, you know, had that cartoony look to it, but it was just random. It looked like a Dragon Ball Z episode. Like, just like these random rocky formations and stuff like this. I get what you're saying now. I didn't really think about that.
So, with any Kingdom Hearts game, the one thing that they're good about is insane map and environment variety. Every single world is like a different, you know, theme. So that could just be that world is... We don't even know what that world is based on. So, I mean, it could be that it fits whatever that world is. Because then you could go to fucking Tugboat Willie, whatever the fuck that's called.
We just said it earlier.
Free Willy? I don't know.
Free Willy,
too. Yeah, like that where it's all black and white and crazy and weird. In Kingdom Hearts 2, that was a thing. It was weird. But anyways, yeah. So that was, you know, that wasn't really anything new to me. But cool. Yeah, they had that little teaser when they announced it 2 years ago, and it's like, it was just kind of more of that.
Yeah.
Sweet, all right. Yeah. No release date. Deus Ex had a little gameplay trailer. It looked like a Deus Ex game.
Looked cool.
Yeah.
It looked pretty. Good graphics.
I'm hyped.
In fact, game. I'm so hyped that I want to beat the first, not the first Deus Ex, but... Human Revolution. I never beat it.
Oh, you didn't?
I never beat it.
Can't believe you
How far did you get?
I gotta beat it, too.
What?
I gotta beat it, too.
I thought you beat it.
I can't believe you clowns haven't beaten
it. I restarted it.
That's pretty rude.
I restarted it.
I haven't beaten it again.
You guys were fools!
I was, like, right at the end.
You gotta cut me some slack, because the reason I didn't beat it is because I got it on, I got it on 360 right after I, like, completely, like, disowned my 360. It was, like, on... But... I bought it on PC, so I can play it anytime.
Did you get the one with the DLC?
The director's cut?
Yeah. Do it.
I haven't played
that. That was my game of the year that year. I was so into that.
That's the thing is, I loved what I played. Like I was super into it, and it was like, yeah, it was a great game. I just
great.
I need to do another playthrough. I didn't do the DLC either. It wasn't out yet.
I'll beat it before the new one comes out. Which got announced. That's one thing we haven't really been discussing is release dates, but the. New one got announced for early 2016, which just adds to the huge lineup. For early 2016 is turning out to be like a fall lineup.
It's insane. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's going to be a busy time.
Games just don't come out at that time. Like usually like one or two games, big games will come out then, but I mean it's like turning out to be a huge fucking spring. First quarter.
I wanted to backpedal for just a second. Did you, I mean, you guys noticed that when they were doing the Kingdom Hearts thing, they showed the mobile game first?
What was that called?
I don't remember. But apparently, it, like, ties into the story of Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, it's they important. But I just think it's funny that, like, for a mobile game, it's like, if you want to have all the context to play... The new game. You gotta play.
But that's just it. After Kingdom Hearts 2, there have been 4 different mobile games. Like, there's been a 3DS one, a regular DS one, a PSP one.
One of them has a cell phone one.
That's what I meant by mobile. This is a phone game.
And then there's another cell phone game. There was already a cell phone game before this. And they all contribute to the story.
The cell phone game did?
the cell phone game did.
I don't like being forced to use my phone.
There is, and so they all just pile onto the plot and the backstory. The most important one was Birth by Sleep on the PSP, easily.
They're going to release the remastered phone collection in fall of this year.
Yeah.
A mobile collection.
Like, it didn't seem that, it wasn't that important in the last phone game. It was like some weird it was fucking stupid. And so they're doing it again because, oh god, I don't know. Kingdom Hearts, weird, weird.
And then they showed the Hitman gameplay.
Yeah, which was sweet.
That's the trailer that was sweet.
I need to go back and rewatch.
It wasn't just a CG trailer, they actually showed gameplay. And they had like almost like a commentary, like a narration thing that was explaining how the game's going to work. And what they're going for sounds really interesting. I still don't quite know, exactly what they're going for, how it's going to work, rather, gameplay-wise. Like you and I were talking about, I don't know if it's like open world or what the deal is. If it's just a
shut the fuck up. Sorry,
it's not working. Get out.
Shut the fuck up.
He's playing Bible Black.
There you go. I was just trying to mute the gameplay trailer.
You turned into like a parent for a minute. You were like, "How's the turn?"
I was tapping the play button. And it wasn't shutting up.
It's all right. So yeah, Hitman looked cool. Deus Ex looked cool. Lara Croft Go.
what a Tomb Raider name. Mobile game.
It actually looked kind of cool, but that's the stupidest name I've ever heard.
Yeah,
Lara Croft Go. That's worse than Murdered Soul Suspect, which is a horrible name. And World of Final Fantasy.
Cute little big heads. You get to play as Final Fantasy 1 character.
Like
the big head. You get to play as Cloud.
They showed Square Enix at the Sony press conference. First of all, they didn't show the fucking Persona 5 trailer, but they showed that.
Here's the thing that's funny is that there's this guy, Alpha Omegason, and he was like raving about Final Fantasy 7, but how he was about to be so pissed off
if that
was it. Because he was hearing rumors about 7.
Mandy, my sister, was talking to me over Facebook chat, and she's just like, oh, Square Enix, what's this? And I'm just comes on, and I just became so vulgar. I was like, this freaking crap out. I don't know, it was just horribly timed.
Was Mandy into it?
I don't know, maybe.
She likes chibi stuff, right?
Yeah, at first she's like, oh, it's cute, but, stupid. so there's two relatively, potentially big things here. One of them is something that not a lot of people recognize. What? Oh, yeah.
Metal Gear?
I gotta wrap up this press conference. Nier 2. Do you know anything about Nier?
I don't.
Do you know anything about Nier?
No.
You know anything. We know about Nier. Me and Jack, we know about Nier. Nier is like an action JRPG made by this psychopath who made the Drakengard trilogy.
Yoko Taro.
Yeah. Yoko Taro, whenever he shows himself as like a puppet or like wearing a crazy mask. I don't know if you've ever really seen him. It's hilarious. And he showed up at E3 wearing this fucking weird mask.
He's used that mask a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It sucked. Did you see him clapping at the end of the conference?
Yeah, he's like... it was crazy.
He had to be led onto the stage.
I told Johnny that I think that's just his real face.
Yeah, so his games are bizarre, and they're the games troll you. Like, they're... Like I said, they're designed by a psychopath. So it's like the off-the-deep-end Hideo Kojima. He makes these games that people like, but he has these insane concepts. Like, Nier is an action RPG, and then it's a turn-based JRPG, and then it's a bullet hell, and then it's like a platformer, and then it's like a fishing game. But all of these things are just so weirdly thrown in. But the story, some people say, is a masterpiece. Once you beat it, with all of his games, they seem really shitty until you beat it a couple times.
Well, I've heard about the way that he tries to design and write his games is that he basically comes up with a really weird situation for the end, and then tries to go backwards from there, and then he'll come up with like some different things he wants to have, and then he just figures out how to fill it all in.
The way he pieces together a story is very weird, and Drakengard fans have known this, which are very like Dynasty Warriors-esque JRPGs with like a big branching story and lots of plot lines you can go down. But Nier was considered the best of like the four.
It's more accessible.
Yeah, yeah, and so the people who beat it think it's a masterpiece, and but the gameplay was always the weakest part. Well, Platinum is making the gameplay of Nier 2, which no one thought would ever be announced because they don't.
Platinum's just doing everything right
Platinum
now.
Platinum does fucking. They're doing a Transformers.
They're doing the freaking Transformers game.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Where'd that come from?
Platinum's almost more insane than From Software, and but you know, man, they're hard workers, I guess. But yeah, so Nier 2, that to some people was like their Shenmue. Like it was just like a what that would never get made, and mm-hmm. like that was one of my favorite games.
That's so cool.
I was always considering playing Nier. I'll have to go back now because I'm interested. This is on the PS4. Hell yeah. And then Project Setsuna, which was literally just here's two concept artworks. We're making a new JRPG franchise.
That guy was so nervous.
Yeah.
he was breathing hard throughout that whole time.
And it was just kind of like, we have nothing. It's coming out next year. Goodbye. And then we're at 210. So we should talk about Metal Gear.
All right. Well, let's talk about, yeah, one last thing before we wrap this up. During this all these shenanigans with these other conferences, YouTube had their own little thing, and they released a new Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer, edited by Kojima himself. Mm-hmm. And this trailer was fucking insane. Mm-hmm. It started off with your typical montage of trippy things, and mm-hmm. showed Big Boss and had like all these different voices like speaking mm-hmm. and narrating the yeah. trailer. And it touched on a lot of the themes and stuff were like losing your voice
mm-hmm. and like and your language, your
dialect, and your yeah. voice and language. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of the trailer, Kiefer Sutherland, who plays Big Boss, says,
the major called it Lazev
Fate. Leon Fons Terib is what Zero called it, or something like
Leza
that.
Leza Fons Terib.
I'm out of
terrible children's project.
So that's the project, the military project that created Solid Snake and Liquid Snake, and then it shows two young twin kids sitting there in
like, and Eli is Liquid Snake.
And they show them like looking up at the camera.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Zero's Major Zero from Metal Gear Solid 3. Okay. Because
Commander.
I just forgot. Yeah, that was... Again, it's just like, okay, Kojima, throwing in another twist.
Right. Well, no.
That was like what... Well, that's not necessarily a twist. That's just what everyone expected to happen, but to actually see it.
Yeah, but like how far into the game is it going to happen? Like 11 hours? I mean...
I don't care when the fuck it happens.
Just as long as it happens.
Like, yeah. I know. My point is that I kind of wish I didn't know some of these things like before the game came out. Like, I didn't need to anymore. I was sold a long time.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, and I wanted to skip the trailer as well.
Hype is cool, but
I watched it because I knew we were going to talk about it.
This game still has like the best trailers I've ever seen for a mm-hmm. video game.
The music during that trailer was so cool.
But there's like too much. There's too many, in my opinion. At this point.
Well... I don't know. I mean, they're edited by Kojima himself, so it's not. I don't think that he's going to spoil his own game.
So. Yeah,
but there's so much in it. Like, how could you not? Like,
well, so much in the context that we don't know what. So we don't know how much of the story that.
I mean, we don't know how it's going to unfold. We don't know why. The guy with the scorched up face,
Skullface.
We don't know why he's hanging out with Snake yet.
Did he get a new mask?
He has an eye mask. Some people are saying that he's not real. That he's Big Boss's subconscious, possibly, because he like appears out of nowhere in the trailer at one point. Like Big Boss kind of walks by and then he's just there, ugly and stuff.
That would make sense why he was like making a deal with Skullface at the.
You a Metal Gear Solid fan?
I haven't played much of him.
I tried getting him into the first one.
A hard time.
They're crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to play more.
So I think that about does it so far, at least. We will be back on Friday, though.
PC game show starts in 35 minutes, which we'll talk on Friday.
Does it actually start at 6?
It starts at 6. There's a timer right now.
Oh, you lying son of a bitch.
Well, I didn't know.
This
fuck thing. IGN.
So yeah, we will be back on Friday to talk more about the PC gaming conference and then any of the other showroom floor stuff that happens and wrap things up. We'll talk about
you know, what games we are most excited for, our favorites so of E3, just kind of our wrap-up show. Mm-hmm. So we will be back. This show is going live tonight, so tune in on Friday night to see our next show. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Follow us on Twitter at @pixel_chicken, and send us your emails at pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. And Jack, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We will see you on Friday.
Yeah, I think so. Sweet. That sounds fun.
All right, cool. Well, and we will see all of you on Friday, or hear you.
I'll be gone. I'll miss you guys.
What?
Fucking what? I'm just kidding. All right.
Yeah.
Peace.
See ya.